TV right here. Good morning. I'm going to call TVID to order. We are short with our chairman and our co-chair today. Both are out sick. So first thing we do is establish a quorum. We do have five members here today. And as a group, you will have to vote on who is going to run the meeting today. So if one of you wants to make a recommendation, and then all of you will vote on that.
My first meeting, I'll make a motion that I'm not sure which of you, Taylor or Steve, are looking the most guilty this morning. Steve, would you be amenable to chairing the meeting?
Totally unprepared for that, but I'll give it a shot.
Let's keep it short.
Okay.
Okay, then I second that motion that Stephen chair the meeting.
All those in favor, right?
Aye.
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 Thank you. So, Stephen, I'll help you through it. So it'll be pretty simple. We don't have a lot to do today, so we should be good.
Super. Thanks,
okay.
Jennifer.
So first thing I just want to mention, welcome Ken Clark from The Landing, our newest board member. We're thrilled to have him. Ken comes from the Santa Cruz market, and he was on TBIT up there, so we are just thrilled to have him here in Morro Bay, and he's a great asset to us as a board, and we will enjoy him. And I also have to my left Shannon McAllister, who is my marketing coordinator. I've asked her to come sit in because most likely, February meeting, I will not be here, so she will be running the meeting. So be nice to her. Okay, so really quickly, do we have any board announcements this morning? The clicker's not working. I think the podium is in the way. Hold, please. City manager has to help me figure out the... Okay. Do we have any board announcements? Maybe just go left to right. Any board announcements this morning? No? Okay, fantastic. You guys are super easy. I do have a couple announcements. First of all, I would like to let you know that we currently have the RFP out for an agency contract. This is a requirement that we are required to do every 2 years, is to put it back out for bid. And so that's what we are currently in the works, and it's located on the city website if you know anybody that wants to look at it and apply. I've formed a subcommittee of five hoteliers here in Morro Bay plus one business person, so I think we have a really good subcommittee, and they will go through the bulk of the written RFPs, and then from there I will bring a small group of finalists to come before you and present creative concepts and talk about their vision for Morro Bay. Sound good? It'll be exciting. So that'll be the May TBIB. It's May 17th. Make sure that you guys are all here for that. It'll be a really important meeting to be at. Next staff announcement. This has just actually been put together yesterday, so I will be sending this out to all the hoteliers. We have a really great offer for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day this year unfortunately falls on a Wednesday. So we all know that's just really a bummer. And so we've put together a package. It's a free bottle of wine and appetizer for any hotel guest, whether they book on an OTA or not. If they're staying on Wednesday the 14th, they will be have this availability that they can pick up this coupon and take it down to Stacks to redeem it. This is I'm able to do this because I have extra money in my budget, so this will go against the TBID budget. The value to the guest is $43, and the expense to TBID is $15. So I'm really thrilled that we can pull this together for everybody. Next, Leprechaun Crawl is coming. This will be our first annual crawl for St. Patrick's Day. We're doing it on Friday the 16th, which is the day before St. Patrick's Day, and we'll be offering tastings of IPAs and small batch whiskeys. And the requirement is that you need to dress up as a leprechaun or your favorite St. Patrick's, you know, look. I'm estimating that we'll have over 650 crawlers based on what we did for the Santa Crawl, so really great numbers. And most importantly is that there's zero cost to this from TBID, so it's a really, really great opportunity to get people in town on a Friday night. The yard sale is coming in April, and we have extended that to be a 3-day event. Last year they did what they called a pre-day on Friday, and some people showed, and it did really well, and so they've agreed to do this as a 3-day event. So we will see room bookings starting on Thursday night this year versus usually Friday, so that that'll be a really good addition.
Last year, the pre-day was so successful that everyone was kind of gone on Sunday. Really, there wasn't all that much going on, so it just might be food for thought moving forward, whether it's this year or beyond, to have something keep people here beyond Saturday afternoon.
And the Chamber has come on board. They've done an MOU with Morro Bay Beautiful, and they're putting together a Sunday package exactly for that reason, Sean, and it'll be basically a sidewalk sale for all the retailers in Morro Bay. So I think they're on that, and they're trying to resolve that. But for me, it's about midweek booking, so getting that Thursday booking I'm really thrilled about. Last announcement for me is Kite Festival. I'm sure you remember part of the grant that you offered for Kite Festival was an event planner, so we have hired an event planner, and we've started meeting with the people that founded the Kite Festival, and we're going to grow that this year to be a 2.5-day event, so it'll start Friday afternoon. And one of the things that we're going to add that has not been done is we're going to add a bay event. So it's always been on the beach. You've got to go out to the rock and be on the beach to see what's going on, and we're going to add a component that's in the bay, so you'll see kite surfing, and we're hoping to get a little regatta from the junior sailors out there. So we'll have some fun stuff going on in the bay to help increase that event. Isn't that fun? That's all my staff announcements. Any
Super.
Questions?
Any questions? Good stuff. Thank you, Jennifer. And
You're
I'm
welcome.
Glad I made it this morning. It was raining too hard for me to leave last night, so I actually drove 2.5 hours this morning to get here.
Oh, goodness.
So I'm glad I did. We have a quorum. Do we have any public comment regarding the items on the agenda this morning?
I don't wear my glasses, so I need my glasses to find my glasses. Sorry about that. Hi, my name is Joan Solu, and I own a hotel here in town. Recently, as you know, there was tragedy in Southern California. Highway 101 ended up being closed because of a major landslide. And it took lives of people, which is the number one most concerning issue out there. However, as you know, that affected the route to north towards the rest of California. During that time, when Highway 101 was closed, our destination, which is a fabulous destination, as a destination, we ran several advertising pieces. In those advertising pieces, we posted rate. And that's specifically what I'm here to talk to you about. The destination should never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 ever post rate. And why is that important? Because once an advertised rate is out there, there's an expectation level by the consumer that all rates will meet that, and then what happens? So I'm going to ask you this question as a hotelier, if you work your front desk. When the guest walks in and they say to you, how much is a room tonight? And you say, yes, I have a room tonight, and the room is $179. Usually what they'll say is, what? What's the next sentence that comes out of their mouth? Do you offer a AAA or AARP rate? Do you offer a Costco discount, military, government? Will you meet an advertised rate of another hotel? I'm a Safeway employee. It doesn't matter what it is. They're looking for a discount. When we advertise our community as a $49 community, the guest who walks through the door says to me on Monday, to my staff actually on Monday, what they say is, how much is your rate? And we say $179. And they say, I'm staying uptown. We'd like to move closer to the water. Wow, we saw that Morro Bay is having discounted hotels this week. Are you offering those rates? When we post any rate, the expectation level of the consumer is to have a $25 reduction off that rate on the low end, and only about a $50 threshold on the high end. So if we're offering a $50 rate on the high end, what we're selling our town for is $100. We're undervaluing our community. I urge you to bring this back as an agenda item and set a policy that our destination marketing staff will never, ever, 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 ever post rate. Thank you.
Super. Thank you, Joan. Any other public comment? Going once. Consent agenda. Do we need approval of this? Jennifer?
Yes.
Yes.
And if there's anything that you would like to move onto the normal agenda, we can do that. You'll notice I've got the marketing overview in the consent. I usually don't do that. I did that this month because we have so many presentations. I figured it'd be best to just put that on consent this month.
Super. So do we need a motion? Okay.
And ask for public comment, too, before taking a motion.
You guys want to do them all together? Motion. Okay. Any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda in total.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Next, approve the December 21st tourism business board meeting minutes.
No. We're going to go to B1, Stephen, which is the TOT.
Okay. Thank you. I told you I was unprepared.
It's okay.
November 2017 transient occupancy tax report year over year. Jennifer?
Sure. I'll go through the infographic that we have on that for you. Our occupancy was flat for November. ADR was slightly down. It was $107 versus $110 last year. We had quite a bit going on in town. We had the kids' passport, plus we had the tall ships. Well, one tall ship, but it did not arrive until the day after Thanksgiving. So that doesn't give too much help. And, of course, Highway 1 is still closed, which we're seeing that reeling from that. I did see the first round of star numbers for December, and we are trending up. Looks close to 5%, so I'm looking forward to see those final numbers for December.
Thank you, Jennifer. And remind me, the estimate for opening Highway 1 is late summer?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Next would be public comment.
Good morning. Joan Solu. I own a hotel here in town. A little comment about TOT year over year. We've had, obviously, if you're owning or operating a hotel or any lodging institution, you know that January is going to be a tough month, Jennifer. And I know with the advertising that we were doing that I was just talking to you about, what we were doing was looking to drive business back to Morro Bay, but you can't create demand with rate. You create demand by creating people wanting to come here. In order to get that ADR up and those occupancy numbers up, we need to create demand and look for opportunities. And one of those opportunities Stephen just mentioned is that Highway 1 is opening back up. All roads are open to Morro Bay. And even when there's a road closure, that's an opportunity for us to look in other directions. Road closure in the south means that it's an opportunity for us to say to Northern California, hey guys, there's a straight shot to Morro Bay. It's easy. There's no traffic in half the crowds. So in terms of where we're at, we're losing market share right now to Paso and Pismo. Where you're seeing increases in rate, what you're seeing there is increases in costs, and that's being passed on to the consumer. When we lose rate or lose occupancy, we're actually losing revenue. So those numbers need to virtually mirror each other in terms of percentage climb. We are going to struggle this summer, and Jennifer and I had a great conversation about how 200 new hotel rooms are being added on the beach in Pismo Beach. And we are going to struggle with that. We need to have really some dynamic focus on opportunity to get that rate and that revenue up and those occupancy percentages up before summer, when we're compressed so hard that there's no place to go because we're not growing hotel rooms this summer. Pismo is going to have a place to grow because they're growing 200 hotel rooms. Their summer growth, once those hotel rooms, will be huge. Our summer growth will be stagnant. So because this town runs at about 95% occupancy during summer, how can we create pressure in the opportunity months to grow that for this community? Because this economy that we do here, tourism economy, the fishermen depend on it, because all those folks come in and eat all the local fish. It's a big deal. So we've got to look at our opportunity months and really focus on those. I'd love to see that. Thanks for all your efforts and what you do.
Great comments. Thank you, Joan. Any other public comment? So that's just receive and file. So going on to the next item, which would be presentation of the grant and sponsorship awardees. Looks like number one, we have Concerts on the Bay. Scott Andrews.
So board, as we go through these, they're each going to talk for 5 minutes, and then you have up to 5 minutes to ask them questions. I really want to stay tight on this timeline because we have a lot of presentations today, okay?
How many approximately do we have?
So for this, there is six. So I'll watch the time for you guys.
What's the time limit?
They're going to present for 5 minutes and then five minutes questions.
Do I use the thumb drive on this? Jenny? Yep.
He's always up here having fun.
Fabio is his name. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a brother or sister, Black Cat.
All right. Good morning. It's good to see you all. I'm Scott Andrews, the founder and executive director of the Slow Jazz Festival. And we had done a fall fest. My vision when I did Jazz Fest is why not do something to get us more year-round, and also creating events to help replace. The original concept was to help replace Savor the Central Coast with something. And so we did a fall fest in 2016, and Jeannie heard about it and said, we ought to do something like that in Morro Bay. So we did this event this last year. I want to thank you for your support. It meant a lot to us. And so this is the presentation just to follow up on what it's all about. We're all about celebrating life through music and great events and benefiting the culture and community of each city that we do events in, especially Morro Bay for the Fall Fest. How do I get this higher, Jeannie?
AGP might need to come out and give a hand.
Hopefully I got that set right. So we have a track record of getting a lot of exposure for our sponsors and providing really high-quality events. We do the Jazz Fest, of course, in Maine. This year will be May 18th and 19th. And we're known for diverse programming. And the Fall Fest idea was to be more on the fringe of jazz. So that's what we were doing, is more different kinds of music, funk, blues, different things like that. And some jazz as well. We focus on having zero waste events and being very ecologically sound in the way we do things. We also have solar powered stages when we can, things like that. We now have the Fall Fest and Jazz Fest, as I mentioned. Our nonprofit cause, we are a nonprofit. It benefits the Summer Jazz Workshop. We partner with Cuesta College for that. And this last year we had Ernie Watts and Charlie Shoemake as guest instructors. Ernie Watts, a Grammy award-winning saxophonist. And it was great to see the kids pick up what he taught them and starting applying it the following day. We're working on more guest speakers this year. So you see there was the first year Fall Fest flyer, and we've done a variety of other events. This was the artwork for this year's Fall Fest. You'll see the poster kind of on the left there, and then the general logo idea. And these are some photos from the Fall Fest. So there's Rick Estrin in the first show. You'll see a Morro Bay banner there behind him, as well as our banners. You'll also notice on the postcard that Discover Morro Bay was the top logo for the event, the Morro Bay logo. Nice crowd there. It's great. What a great location. So we held this between Giovanni's Fish Market and Stack's Wine Bar in the parking lot there. So it was kind of a unique location, and it offered that, you know, just the picturesque setting there of the rock. And you'll see we had a VIP meet and greet. The idea was to have VIP tables in the front and then general seating behind that. And people, of course, did a lot of dancing for the shows, which was a lot of fun. So the VIP seating was a success. There's one of our trombone players with Orgone, the second show. First show was blues, second show was funk. And there you'll see Orgone there. And we also had Jungle Fire. You'll also see your logo on the banner on the stage as well. So we had the Morobe logo behind it on the stage. We did over 10,000 postcards. I distributed them up and down the state of California, put them in hotels all throughout our county. There's a lot of postcards that were distributed for this, as well as posters. That was the final show in Atascadero. That show was a sold-out show with Coco Montoya. And we found that there was a huge line for the meet and greet for him, and VIP tables were popular there too. For the Morro Bay shows, let me get this set. Little aspect ratio is off a little bit, but so we had a total of 674 people attend the Morobe shows. The second show was higher attended than the first show. We had 41% of ticket purchasers were outside the county, which I think for a first year event is fabulous. I mean, normally what I've seen in other events is we've seen around 20% for a first year event. So to hit that double, I think it mattered that Morobe spent money marketing the event as well. And so all of that matters in a big way. We saw a strong Valley presence for the first show and a strong Southern California presence for the second show. Overall, the series was a success. Overall, the attendance was almost 1,200 people, and we had 31% of purchasers out of county overall. So you'll see Morro Bay had the highest success as far as getting tourism to the shows, which I think was a good sign. On publicity, we had your logo on. I talked about the postcards, over 500 posters in the TV ad. There was press releases, of course, name mentioned from the stage. We had an extensive social media campaign, ads in the New Times, Monterey Weekly, Tolosa Press, and all of those featured your ad there, as you'll see on our artwork. Of course, we want to grow the Fall Fest, and so we offer you a lot of benefits to continue that, and I'll include those in our presentation. I want to move past just for the sake of time now. The whole idea is to get your name involved. And
Scott, you're at your 5 minutes, so why don't we let the board go ahead and ask you questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Super, thank you, Scott. Board, any questions?
Do we know the effect on any of the hotels in town and the business that we received?
So our first year on this, as far as a sponsorship, when we originally presented it to the board, was we were expecting to sell 300 tickets per show. That was what we were our goal was. So we went above that, and like you mentioned, 31% were out market. I can't guarantee that they all stayed in hotels, but that would be the percentage that we would use, Ken. And we also did a push with free tickets for hotel guests, which I think helped increase that as well.
We got some people. Did you, Steve, or do you know?
I think we got some people. I don't know how many, though.
I don't know the number either, but we got some. Joan, what about you guys? Did you see a benefit from it? Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Approximately, what were the hours of the show in Morro Bay?
We started just after noon, and then it ran until 6 p.m. So we did two sets for each day. And so what we do is we have a VIP meet and greet early, so people get in early if they're VIP, the VIP tables. That proves to be a model that's working for us. I think that people found by the last show, people were saying, man, I would like to have more tables. We should have bought a table. People were saying, I didn't buy a table. So they found out they could get a meet and greet with the artist, which was a really big deal. I think as the typical artists that we book, as people want that signature with the artist, that'll even drive that up as we continue this event forward. It's rare to go to a concert and get a signature from the artist right there, so that was pretty cool.
So one of the things that I was going to mention to you after the first concert, I felt that the numbers were not as strong as I would like to see, and so Scott and I sat down, we reworked the ticket price. We allowed kids in for free, and we had a really, really good low rate for the gate, which I think made a big difference. Plus, you know, you've got families traveling on weekends, and we figured if it allowed kids in free, that would help, you know, benefit us as far as getting visitors to come in. And I think we saw a difference. We almost doubled our ticket sales the second show.
And there were alcohol sales?
Yes.
Do we have, like, any feedback on alcohol sales?
I can get those for you, Taylor. Gio said that he made about $1,000 over his cost, is what he told me. He didn't give me hard numbers. That was his part of, that was only his, that's the only thing he made money in. He gave us the space for free. We did not have a rent on his lot.
And
he paid for the ABC license for the events.
Were they serving food at the venue, or did people usually go out to dinner after?
Gio served food at the venue. He had oysters, I think, the first day. The second day, I think he had a mixture of some different food available. So people could get food, and they were doing that. And they were also sometimes going out and getting some food, because we did allow ins and outs at the event. So, they were taking advantage of that. I think we're going to look at in the ways of expanding food this next year, you know, for what we do. And it's our goal to see if we can grow the event and add more shows. Some of the thoughts I have on that are to have shows throughout the county as we've been doing, but also additional cities. And we'd like to grow, you know, Morro Bay. My eventual goal with this is to see if we can have 50 shows throughout the Central Coast, and especially in Morro Bay during the fall. Go ahead, Jeannie.
You have any other questions, Board?
Well, if you were close to 700 this year, last year, what would you project going forward?
Well, I think every year that we do it, we're going to see it grow. And the other thing that we're going to see is the as people get exposed, like people that were calling me to book different shows, they had not been exposed to our organization before and the shows that we do. So as they get plugged in, they repeat. You'll see 50% of concert attendees typically repeat the next year. So that can be a good thing. As we see repeat customers, we should see some growth. To put an exact number on it, I haven't quite calculated that, but I think we should see some growth. The other thing that can impact it is the headliners that we booked. And so as sponsors are discovering the Fall Fest, they're getting more interested. And as we can raise more sponsorship, I can raise the number of what I spend on the bands, and that will also increase how much the shows grow.
Super, thank you. Any other questions?
Okay, we really appreciate your support.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, next we have the Surfboard Art Festival. Walter Heath.
Good morning, Walter Heath, Morro Bay resident and the coordinator of the Morro Bay Surfboard Art Festival. And the president of Morro Bay and Bloom, derives the benefit from the Morro Bay Surfboard Art Festival. First thing, I want to thank the board for incentivizing the event so that we could go to wineries throughout San Luis Obispo County and encourage them to become sponsors, and basically subsidizing their sponsorship so that we can expand the event and create the opportunity for some marketing and some wine tourism from Morro Bay to the wineries in San Luis Obispo County. We tended to focus on the wineries along Highway 46. We did have wineries throughout the county, but we did tend to want to connect the dots between the wineries along the North Coast and the North Coast Wine Trail, those wineries in Cayucas and in Cambria, and then across West 46 out to Tin City. And we kind of connected the dots out to, because Tin City has become a very popular location. But we did have some wineries in the southern part of the county, and it was great to be able to loop them in, to kind of bring them in, and they saw some increased foot traffic, you know, at their places around the idea of the Surfboard Art Festival. So, thank you for the opportunity to do that. We were, I don't know if you're familiar with this, how many of you are new, but basically, for every winery that I signed up, basically we had $200. We were given $200 for promotion on the morrobay.org website. The money had to be used for, you know, marketing on the morrobay.org website, and we had to measure the click-throughs on our Facebook ads if we used Facebook, and so, you know, up to a certain amount. I think it was up to $5,000, and we got up to $4,600, so that was 23 wineries, which is great. We can then go back to those wineries and have them become you know, regular sponsors, as the sponsors in Morro Bay are. The sponsors in Morro Bay pay $250, which works out to about $4 a day across the 60-day exhibit, to have a piece of surfboard art in their place of business and then to appear on the map, so that when people come to town and want to see the surfboard art, foot traffic is driven to those Morro Bay businesses and they pay $250, basically for the privilege of being on the map. So now we can go back to those wineries in San Luis Obispo County and say, was the event, you know, good enough for you? Did it work well enough for you that you would be willing to, you know, do a sponsorship? And so that's a huge opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity to go and sell that that promotional opportunity to the wineries, and I felt that it worked out very well. Secondly, here, our event is a little bit different. It's a 60-day exhibit. It starts on the Saturday of Harbor Fest, and it ends on the Lighted Boat Parade day. And so what we're doing is, you know, going back to what was said earlier, we're driving that ADR, that average daily rate, because basically we're promoting that there's a lot going on in Morro Bay, and our event appeals to, you know, folks who are interested in art, who are interested in surfboards. It's a natural tie-in to our surf culture. But it's very difficult to directly measure what the occupancy is, how many rooms we've booked. So we chose to advertise almost exclusively on Facebook. We took one small quarter page ad in the Bay News, but we basically spent $4,600 on Facebook, and we promoted the MorroBay.org booking site in every ad. The ads were targeted to the valley from Sacramento to Sacramento in the north, Bakersfield to the south, the San Francisco Bay Area market, San Jose, the Los Angeles market, naturally, the Orange County market, San Diego market. And so we targeted our ads there. And then we received a report, you know, from Facebook on the measurable number of click-throughs that went to the hotel booking site. And we had a total of 4,400 click-throughs. So we feel that on the alternate side of this, that promoting the MorroBay.org website also helps promote our event, because we were, in addition to just, you know, promoting Morro Bay as a destination, we're also able to come in with smaller, low-dollar buys that featured individual boards and individual businesses that promote. So we'd spend $15, $20, whereas we were doing, like, you know, $2,000 buys for the hotel booking site. We'd do these much smaller, low-dollar buys to promote the event.
Well,
so
let's let him go ahead and ask your questions on it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have your... You don't have his grant recap, so I'll have to get that to them.
Yeah, I have all that here, including the Facebook report, which is multiple pages and basically shows where the click-throughs came from, which areas the click-throughs came from. So it's a good, you know, 10-page report, and it's available to you. I'm going to leave it today when I leave.
Thank you, Walter.
Yep.
Board, any questions?
Yeah, Walter, just to be clear, when you said you got the sponsorship from the winery, so were they displaying the surfboards at the winery so they
Yes.
go on the map to draw people up there?
Yes, okay. and what we did is we continue to have the large fold-up map for Morro Bay. We really didn't know how this would go, so what we did is we did a directory on the back of the wineries, which gave them the opportunity to advertise, like, you know, 2-for-1 wine tastings and that sort of thing. And we'll go back to them and ask them, I mean, because we'd have to expand the map from an 11x17 folded to an 8.5x11 to something larger, there's some, you know, derivative of that, where we'd probably put a map on the back as opposed to the directory. We'd talk to the wineries and ask them what they want to do.
Regarding the map, because I think that's a major part of this in terms of Morro Bay hoteliers, the density of surfboards in the downtown and waterfront area, I feel like is a huge part of this in terms of its benefit to Morro Bay, that perhaps moving forward, rather than a larger map, that individual hoteliers have a little bit more of a connecting the dots, like you mentioned, so that we... just selfishly for Morro Bay, we scale it back from the wineries who are an integral part of this, but more towards like a Santa Crawl or Leprechaun Crawl type 60-day event that benefits everyone who comes in here to a hotel that is looking for something to do for an hour and a half.
It's a wonderful event, but it needs promotion, and I would welcome anyone who has any interest in this at all to contact me and become an advisor. I mean, we have the logistics down pretty well, but we do need help from people who are, you know, like promotion, like marketing, have ideas that way and are willing to kind of follow through with them because it's logistically, it's an interesting event. It's there's a lot of moving parts.
I have a quick question for you, Walter. So I was really pleased to see that you were able to take this event, which I've followed since you came up with it. I've been a big fan. You were able to involve the wineries, and every year you advance this event and make it more dynamic and somewhat more defined, because like you said, it is a different kind of event. Specifically, I liked it this year because you involved the Tourism Bureau, which gave you some structure to work with besides your own structure, working with another entity. So specifically, I wanted to point out that, you know, having the TBID, or not the TBID, but the Tourism Department work with you for how you do marketing and logo and all that stuff is very important for the relationship to be successful. And then the reporting, I had specifically wanted to know as far as the expenses, because I was following that myself. I did some reading of your emails and stuff like that. And your Facebook report that you have, that has the expenses reported on it? Because I think that that's real important to see how the marketing worked for you, because it's $4,600 of money that we're responsible for, I guess. And I would like to see this move forward so that next year when we bring this to us, that we can educatedly choose to support it, I would hope, right?
Thanks for bringing that up. You know, for us, the final day, the day of the art sale, is crucial. And the Inn at Morro Bay was very generous about letting us use the inn. And we felt that, you know, having it on the day of the lighted boat parade and promoting it heavily, we could get more people into town during the day. They all kind of pile in at, you know, 5, 6 o'clock at night for the lighted boat parade, but we're losing out on the opportunity of sales tax revenue during the day. And unfortunately, that just didn't happen. And we did very poorly in terms of the art sales as a result, and I'm disappointed about that. But so I asked others around town, you know, how was the day for you? I mean, you know, we lit the Christmas tree that day, and I talked to restaurants, and it just did not happen. So I don't know what the answer is there. You know, some of my favorite restaurants, we have the regular rotation. We're at a different place every day. They all said it was empty. Their places were empty. So something needs to be done, I feel, to promote the lighted boat parade day and have something going on. And maybe that's an opportunity to have some music or some kind of a draw that will get people, instead of that crunch at 5 o'clock where everybody's driving around Morro Bay looking for a parking
place.
Walter,
one thing I wanted to follow up on with what I was saying, which I think you're responding to, is working with Jennifer and her department is so important for us to be able to sponsor your event.
Yeah.
And turning in all the documentation that's requested and following the structure that they present to you is so important, because you have such a dynamic event and it's so new every year that it's very important that we work with the structure. And I wanted to make that very clear, especially for my support
in the
future.
Oh, yeah, you bet. And, yeah, we've complied with everything. We've got our report here. I think the deadline was, you know, January 31st. I think you'll find the Facebook detail report is thorough and a good one. And, you know, apart from that, I do have one suggestion. I do think it would be helpful if a 3x5 card were printed with all of the events for the year that could be given to the hoteliers, and so that's attached to the bill when folks leave. I know a lot, or even when they check in is probably better, because a lot of people, you know, just kind of let the credit card ride. But when they come in, you know, just a little checkoff thing. What brings you here? What's the event? And a line for other, because that would help us measure. We really have no way to measure what the impact is in terms of rooms, other than someone, when they check into a hotel, say, hey, I'm here for the Hertz Surfboard Art Festival, and then we would have that, and it's probably an investment of $60 to get a bunch of 3x5 print cards.
So, talking about the lighted boat parade. You said it was empty. Are you talking about Friday night or
no,
Saturday
I'm talking
night?
About Saturday day. We had our art sale Saturday day okay. from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it was dead. Even with the inn there and the folks, you know, staying at the inn supposedly for the lighted boat parade. It was.
Board, do you have any other questions?
Dead.
Any other questions, Board?
Real quick, I know time's tight. Would a more central location for the sale be beneficial rather than all the way at the south end?
You know, it just depends. We've been tinkering with the format quite a bit. I mean, we started out with an auction, and we've moved to the sale because out of consideration for the artists. I mean, the artists are our partners. They benefit with this equally with us. And when you do one piece of surfboard art and you put it up for auction, they're putting all their chips down on red, and some win and some lose, and that just didn't seem fair. So we moved to a day-long sale so that everybody could sell something and derive some benefit and meet rent during the slow time of the year for them. So what we did is we went to a situation where we featured a board every half hour and auctioned that, but there were times when there weren't two people in the room. So, I mean, it was really a problem. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to a hybrid format where we have the sale, and then maybe from 3, we invited the wineries in to pour, and then from 3:30 to 5, we'll auction all the boards during that 90-minute period. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Walter. We appreciate it. Please try and keep your presentation to 5 minutes so we can have enough time for everyone here. Next is Central Coast Writers Conference with Terry. And just to clarify, Terry's going to present, looks like, three different events in concession. But the first one, again, is Central Coast Writers Conference.
Hello. I'll promise to talk fast. So the Central Coast Writers Conference this year was September 28th through October 1st. This was the first year that Morro Bay was our official lodging sponsor, and it worked out fabulous. So the Writers Conference is at Cuesta College, and it was our 34th year. And our goals for this year were to further writers' dreams, teach writing skills, and inspire and motivate, which we did quite well. We housed everybody here in Morro Bay. We had most of our events here in Morro Bay, and the staff was nuts over it. We had 260 attendees, which is up 100 from last year. Faculty was 34, and volunteers were 68. All of them were housed in Morro Bay, even me. So we had 152 nights at the inn at Morro Bay. That's the only one I know for sure because I paid for it. On our survey at the end of the conference, we do everybody has to say where they stayed, and so these were the ones that were specifically mentioned where they stayed. There was a lot of Airbnb, a lot of people in RV parks because people that were that lived up in North County brought their RVs down and stayed down here because the conference goes for 3 days. It's pretty busy from 9 to 9 for the whole 3 days, so the writers really don't have an opportunity to go home. But they loved it here. We had sunshine every single day. I had trouble getting people to class on time because there was no fog here. So one of the things that we do is everybody gets a goodie bag when they check into the conference, and one of my advisory committee went around and got little coupons to different things in Morro Bay. We had over $200 worth of Morro Bay coupons. And then on Sunday is the one day that we have free, and so we have unorganized kind of getting together. So at this point, we've spent 3 days together. Everybody knows everybody. They've made friends. And so people went out and just a lot of people. We had one of the guys that was our driver who's a Morro Bay resident who's actually Mark's brother's son or grandson. And so he took, like, we have these great big vans, and he kept taking everybody to see the otters. He had, like, it was his secret thing, and everybody believed that he was controlling the otters, which was kind of awesome. So everybody was still talking about the sea otters. A lot of people did the SUP rental. We did boat rentals. They just strolled the waterfront. We did wine tasting, restaurants, shopping, golf, and we did lots of brunching and lots of food around here. It was nice because, you know, 90% of our staff are Hollywood, and they're big Hollywood writers, and so it's real important to give them really nice meals. They over half of the staff came in 2 days early and just made a vacation of it, so they paid for their first two nights at the Intermoral Bay and then stayed through the conference. And so I had to take them out to dinner every night, and it's nice to have so many wonderful restaurants that treated us well and treated them like they were used to being treated. So some of the events we had this year, we had the keynote with Tom Shulman. He was the man who wrote Dead Poets Society, won an Academy Award for it. So he was our opening keynote. We had another keynote with Mary Lou Verdi. She was one of Oprah's most frequent person to go on the show. She's all about being brave and getting out there. So we have somebody that comes in to talk to the writers in the very beginning in the morning, because writers by nature are kind of introverts, so we get them out of their shell by having someone jump up on them. We also had the Burn the Bully healing event. Jay Asher was one of our presenters. He wrote the 13 Reasons Why, which is a big Netflix hit now. So we had an effigy, and everybody wrote the name of a bully on it, and we put it in there and lit it on fire. It was quite spectacular. And then we had official huggers outside to do that. And then we had the Moth-inspired event at Morro Bay, and that's a live show where everybody had to get up and talk, give a talk that was true, that without cards, and just kind of like karaoke for storytellers. I went first. Everybody was terrified, but once we all got into it, then it was, I had to like shut the door and throw them out at 10 o'clock. We had 75 different classes for every kind of writers. We do marketing, publishing, editing, brand new writers, screenwriting, nonfiction, poetry. We have a little bit for everybody. And then our very last keynote was Gene Steele on how to be happy, because writers tend to be a little morose. And then the closing keynote was George Saunders. George Saunders just is one of our biggest and most brightest stars in the writing community. He was at Cal Poly. So we actually had, it was Cuesta, it was the and Cal Poly and Slow International Film Festival all came together to make this work. And of course, Morro Bay. So these are all of our sponsors. We had some really great help. Morro Bay was already. Okay, so there's all the sponsors.
Super.
Because we try to keep this, we give a lot of free stuff. All the teens come for free. The teachers come for free. We have scholarships for people that are sick, and they get to come for free because we feel that writing heals people. And anybody who goes to Cuesta can come. That's our famous faculty. There's the media. We spent $8,039 in hard marketing dollars, and then all the public relations and stuff. There's all our Facebook.
We're going to have to cut you off. I'm so
okay.
Sorry, Terry.
That's okay.
Thank you, Terry. We're going to take questions now.
Of these.
Taylor, you
the only thing I was going to mention, Board, that Terry didn't mention, is these room nights were mainly midweek. The event started midweek, which was helpful.
Super.
Yeah.
Questions?
So, Terry, what do you attribute? That was a huge jump, 100 plus, to have an additional 100 people this year. So what do you attribute? Is this the first year you've played?
No, this is my third year.
Okay.
That was my third year. This is my fourth year.
Was it because of Morro Bay?
No. I think, you know, I honestly do, because here's what happened. Several of my staff booked conferences with Inn at Morro Bay afterwards. So the Inn at Morro Bay has gotten like three more of writing type of conferences from it. We were housed in Pismo before, and Pismo, while beautiful and awesome, because I chose Pismo because I lived there, they didn't embrace us. And here they embraced us. And the staff felt it. Like one of my staff, he's like one of the biggest writers in the world, fell in love with that Aloha t-shirt shop. And he bought like seven or eight of them there, and he just can't stop talking about it. So they've just felt like they were like it was a village. The whole point of the conference is to try to make everybody become this little village, and here they found it.
Terry, obviously there's a strong relationship with the Inn at Morro Bay. Of the five or six other hotels that you mentioned, was that just kind of a random sampling of where?
That's where they specifically told me they stay. So on our website, we have the link to Morro Bay lodging. And so we have everything from the, you know, where the staff is staying, but that was sold out almost immediately. And then we have all the other places to stay. So some of the writers are coming in, they're real budget, you know, so there are like four writers in one room at a, you know, $60 price point. So we had a little bit of everything there.
Any idea how we can maybe spread around those hotel rooms to the other properties of the plus or minus 400 people that either attended or worked at the event?
I don't know. I'll work on that. But, you know,
I think we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can too, because, I mean, I got specific calls going, I need a cheaper room. And so I'd say, go here. This, because then they'd say, well, is this one nice? It's too cheap. It might not be nice. I'm like, no, it's nice. I've seen it. It's still nice. So, but yeah, I mean, Inn at Morro Bay fills up almost immediately with just my staff. So it's really not even an option for other people to stay there. So that's why they go to the other places.
Any other questions, board?
Okay.
I have a question. Okay. I want to know if you're bringing it back to Morro Bay next year.
Yes. Are you kidding? It's like, so I sent out in January, I hire everybody, and a couple of the ones that were repeated back, answered back, I said, I didn't even read past, will you come back? I'm not sure what you're asking me to do, but the answer is yes. So, yeah, everybody's super excited about coming back here.
Super. Thank you, Terry, and I believe you're going to go on to the lighted boat parade.
Okay, Winterfest, which starts with the lighted boat parade, started December 1st, and they're out of order. So I'm kind of trying to do this chronological. So one of the first things that happened is a bunch of businesses and a lot of the city entities got on board. We wanted to try and light up the city with a very branded tree. So Jennifer found these crab pot Christmas trees. And we got 13 different entities to buy one, or each buy one or two, and they were spread all over town, and they were beautiful. They weren't much to look at when we were putting them up, and we were a little nervous, but at night they were stunning. And then in addition to that, we had the Harbor Department that actually made a crab pot Christmas tree right at the top of Centennial Park. My goal is to start hitting the businesses around June and July when they have cash and say, buy a tree now, because I want to triple and double the numbers, because the ones that were up, it was just stunning. One of the best things about it is we got the LA Times. It was in one of the funkiest Christmas places to go based on the crab pot trees, so it was pretty awesome. Then we also got a permanent Santa house, which was 2 weeks late in being delivered. So Rotary and half of the city departments came together and in 24 hours put this thing together. It was a true Christmas miracle because it was some assembly required. That thing came in a box. Anyway, so it was just, I have to tell you that I work with a lot of cities, I work with a lot of organizations, and I have never, ever had the experience of a whole city coming together, conspiring to make one event successful. And that happened for the whole 12 days. It never let up. Every department, every business, every person just wanted this to succeed. I've never had such just camaraderie. It was fantastic. So just the Santa house got up, and Santa was there every night from 6 to 8 o'clock. Four or five different businesses sponsored the Santa house every night, so they bought toys for the kids, so everybody got to sit on Santa's lap and get a toy. Friday, December 1st, was the lighted boat cruise. This was the attempt of taking the lighted boat parade for 3 days. So the very first night, we had eight businesses that sponsored eight different boats, and it was cool because we actually got Harbor Department and Coast Guard Cutter involved, which was kind of an act of God to get a Coast Guard, but they were super excited, and we got it approved, and we did it. So there was eight of them going, and one of them was the Lady Washington, and the Lady Washington was empty, so she let me put 45 of my volunteers on the boat to cruise with it. So it was kind of a thank you to my volunteers for the next 12 days of hard work. So the restaurants were full, the waterfront was full. It was kind of an impressive thing. Then on Saturday, December 2nd, was the Lighted Boat Parade. We had 40 entries this year, which is the most we've ever had, because I had to go buy new numbers. The town filled up, and everybody enjoyed the parade. We had the White Cap Band play. We did the little delineators with the blow-up nautical and Christmas stuff. And there was kettle corn and hot cocoa and cookies. The police department came and made sure that nobody got ran over because there was a Santa house on one side of the street and the Lighted Boat Parade on the other. And the winners received cash prizes, and all participants got a goodie bag of about $20 worth of coupons and stuff. So on Sunday, December 3rd, was the first ever paddle parade at Tylands Park. We had 24 entries, which was pretty amazing for a first-time show. There was the rec department and the Morro Bay High School's girls polo team helped with the day. We had paper boat building up on the shore and cookies and cocoa, and that was cocoa. There was a lot of cocoa for December. And then on Friday, December 8th, we had our first ever Santa crawl, which hopefully you all saw. It was pretty visually impressive. 455 people dressed up like Santa and crawled the streets. They did 23 different businesses. And they were filling out a passport, so there was no incidences of anybody being out of hand because they were running. It was literally a running game. The trolley ran in between, and so there was times the trolley would come by, and it was filled with Santas, and they were singing Christmas carols. It was like the coolest thing ever. The people took these costumes very seriously. Men especially were spectacularly dressed up. That was right when the refugees started coming from the Montecito fire. So we gave them, if anybody was a refugee, we gave them a free Santa hat and we let them crawl for free. So a lot of people were pretty excited to be able to do that because they left with the clothes on their back. But it was super successful and super fun. And one couple won the $1,000 staycation. On December 9th was the gingerbread house competition at the Morro Bay. We had the Morro Bay High School choir came and sang, which was very cool. That one house just completely imploded overnight, so it was kind of sad, but they were trying to work on it. This little one right here is the swell with the rock, and the house was quite impressive. It was done by a little family here, and they won first place. And the first place that they won was to get to go on the battle cruise the next day, so they were super excited about that. And then on December 10th, we had the snow play at Tidelands Park. We had 1,430 people sign up for that. I called Carla, who was going to do the cookies, and I said, how many cookies were you going to make? She said, about 3 dozen. I'm like, we're going to need a little bit more. So rec department, 4-H club, and Carla got together, and they made 1,400 cookies. So we had 30 of the Elf on the Shelf entries, which were kind of funny, and then the kids got to do the cookies, and then we had two different things of snow, one that was on a hill and one that was for under six over there. And the snow was donated by the Morro Bay Fish Company. And then on the last day, we put Santa on a Coast Guard gutter, and the Coast Guard went all the way through all of the piers because there was people on waving to Santa goodbye. And then we went out, and we got to watch Santa rocket into space. So here are the social media stats. It was good. It was amazing. I mean, the numbers were just unbelievable. People were really into this and really liked it. And like I said, everybody from the businesses on up to the people that were part of it really, really enjoyed it. A lot of people told me that they'd never been to a lighted boat parade, and they were pretty excited to be there for the first time. That's it. Bing!
So I have a couple of things that I want to mention that Terry's very lovely talking about her stuff, but I want to get into some specific things for you guys to just realize. As a reminder, she was hired to do this for 2 years, which will benefit us now because, like she mentioned, she'll start going out and working on getting trees during summer when retailers and restaurants have money instead of waiting till November when they're all, you know, really tight. So I think that's good. There's a couple things that were done that were geared closer to locals, like the snow play, the gingerbread house, the goodbye to Santa. Those cost nothing. Those were all done with volunteers, and like the snow is all brought in for free. So, I mean, that's all really good stuff that I think the city really came together as a whole to benefit us as a whole. And the other thing that she didn't mention was we had a huge growth on our email list by all these events, so she required them to sign up actually at, on our list, so we've grown our list by several thousands over the 12 days.
Yeah, even though it was free, I put everything on Eventbrite just to kind of, because I didn't know I needed to gauge the numbers, and the numbers were really large. And so we captured all of their details, their email, and where they lived and everything else. So,
John.
I apologize, I have to step out in a moment here, but I had a question about how, related to, let's say, the Crab Pot Christmas Tree participation, what can we do to get more business participation downtown on a daily basis rather than just the individual key, like, two or three events, from a practical standpoint, even something like hours open?
Well, I sent both letters. I went to every business. We put it in the water bill. So every single solitary human being in business knew that this was happening and had an opportunity to participate. The entry-level participation on this was only $50. To be part of the Santa Crawl was only $100. So any of the businesses could afford it. And then, again, I did walk from business to business and asked everybody to participate in either Santa Crawl or buying a tree. There was a lot of what used to happen that came out from that, and I think that now that we've showed that this works and that we followed through, I think next year I'm going to have a much easier time signing up people downtown.
And I think part of it is gaining their trust. So since this event, I've had literally several retailers come into my office and say next year they'll be involved. Yeah.
Terry, any idea of locals versus tourists attending the event?
Well, you know, for me, it was like, I don't know if they were the gods, just, but, like, people would walk up to me, because I was out in front of the Santa House a lot, and they would say, you know, we were driving up the coast, and we saw this thing, Winterfest, and we decided to just come and stay here. So I had that, like, happen three or four times. I had it happen on the Santa Crawl, the boat cruise, and the lighted boat parade. You know, there was no way of counting any of them except for the Santa Crawl, because in the Santa Crawl we have specific where the town they came from, and most of them were from out of town.
My office does actively call the hotels, Stephen, for larger events like the Lighted Boat Parade. We actively start calling the week before and see how their numbers are going, and we try to do that up until usually the day before the event, and then we're just too busy to do, you know, that last day of the event. We did not do it on the Santa Crawl, which I wish we had. And we will next year, but the numbers were good for Lighted Boat Parade, and I can get all those room numbers to you.
Is it mostly locals attending, would you say?
For Winterfest as a whole?
Correct.
Not all the time, no. So, like I said, I think there was some local events. Remember, this was grant funds. It is general fund money, so it does have to also benefit the community. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a good balance. By extending the Lighted Boat Parade into a three-day event, we definitely gained rooms from that. The Santa Crawl, I was not expecting it to be that popular, but we definitely gained rooms from that. And then the Tall Ships, I'll go through their grant review in a minute, but they've got very specific numbers. They did a good audit afterwards, and so I'll go through those numbers with you as well.
Super.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, Terry, for all your energy.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. So before we lose Sean, I take it we're not going to have a quorum? We still have a quorum? Okay. Okay, next would be the Historical Seaport, Tall Ships. And that's going to be Jennifer.
Okay, I'm going to go over this since they are in the state of Washington. I didn't make them come down for this. So they sent in their grant review, which I forwarded to all of you. They did a really nice question out to people that were actually on the battle sales. So these numbers are not people that were coming through the boats on the daily basis. I will make a point of calling them and see if we can get, I don't know if they counted people that were physically, you could go on the boats for free every day and just do a tour of the boats, but these numbers that you're going to see up here are strictly people that paid to go on the vessel for a cruise. So they had 201 total purchase tickets for the sales. The sales were only 2 days. They were on Saturday, Sunday for two different weeks when both boats were here in port. As far as the breakdown of makeup, they had 64% of the responders were local and 35% were visitors. In the on the right side, you'll see it says, did you visit the tall ships when you were in Morro Bay? 86% of the responders said yes. The next question was, did you stay in a hotel, campsite, or other accommodations while in Morro Bay? So 53% did not stay overnight. So half of the responders did stay overnight. 15%, a little over 15% stayed in a hotel motel. And that's the only one that I was going to point out. That was probably the largest number as far as other locations that they stayed. How much money did you estimate to spend while you're in Morro Bay? So this number, it breaks down fairly evenly. What I just put on the side is 68% of the total responders spent over $50 while in Morro Bay, and 43% spent over $100 while in Morro Bay. And then the graph below, did you shop at local stores? And 85% said yes, they shopped in local stores while in Morro Bay. So that was their response. And I do want to go back and find out if they have total numbers of people that actually came on the boats. So that's, unfortunately, that's all the questions. I can't really answer much questions. If you want to ask me, you can, though.
I think we're good. Thank you.
You probably need public comment on the grants.
I think Taylor's good.
I had one general thing I wanted to direct at you, Jennifer, for all of these. So for so much of what we do up here is about using assessment dollars wisely, and every year we direct a majority of our assessment dollars to our department and contracts specifically. That provides the structure for what we do every year. We electively select to use some of those funds for grants such as what we just witnessed. I think it's every year that I've been on this board, which is a while now, we come up to the same thing of have we used this grant money. And specifically for me, I feel like money's not the issue. It's time. It's your time. We're limited in this department. It's our time. We're limited in time. And I really feel like every year I would love to have a I'm on this new thing of a simple form for me to be able to review. I'd love to have a simple form from you, our selected department, our structure, in response to these grants. So I made a little list, and I have a bunch of stuff written, but I'm going to keep it short. I want, and you don't have to do this, but this is what I want. I want a report from the tourism department on grant recipients such as these. Did they submit requested documentation, general reporting, and expense reporting? Did they maintain public relations policy structure as requested? Did they maintain marketing plan policy structure as requested? Was this a fiscally responsible use of assessment dollars, or should we reevaluate sponsorship for next year to support a different grant applicant? Really simple.
Yep.
You're the one that is the boss from my point of view. I'm looking at you to tell me what's going on, not them. They're elected. You're my structure. So I'm going to choose you. What you say is what I want to hear. Thank you for the report. Now, Jennifer, tell me what the business is. Thank you.
I'd be glad to do that, Taylor.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment? Joan?
Thank you. I don't even have to say my name. Stephen knows it. Thank you. So Joan Solu. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I do want to say thank you to not only these five events who presented here today, but to the other folks who do things, the bicycle parade, and, you know, if we go back to an Easter egg roll, the Easter egg roll, and all the things that happen throughout the year, small music events and everything else, especially all the nonprofits who do this. That's born on the backs, mostly, of volunteers here in this community. And it's my experience after living here 20 years that it's about 300 people who do all of that. And they just circulate into these pods and groups. These faces that you're seeing here, you'll likely see presenting something else somewhere else. So as a resident and a business owner over the 20 years, I've seen pretty much those same 300 faces, and I am really grateful to those folks. Regarding the $90,000 that was spent here, and are you getting value out of it? I think that these programs, some of them are really great. They have great teeth. A good example of that, I had a great discussion with Jennifer about Winterfest. I think that it has great teeth to not only provide sales tax revenue pressure on the total economy, but also to provide that pressure on hotel rooms. But it needs to be spaced out when families are traveling, because literally there is no pressure the first half of the month. You know this if you own a hotel or if you operate one. There's no pressure the first half of the month for lodging. The pressure comes the day school gets out. That's when families begin to travel. And that, unfortunately or fortunately, we had these great events. Fortunately, we had great events. But they were all in the first half of the month. It would be great if those events also happened to draw on tourism, because, as you know, $100 spent in a retail store is phenomenal for our economy, but it only gets 1% of the 8% of sales tax. 1% of the 8%, not a full 1%, but 1% of the 8% goes back to the city to keep our city thriving. Whereas if a hotel room sells for $100, 10%, $10, goes directly back to the city to keep the city thriving. So in terms of keeping the city, I'd love to see that event really have teeth, because December needs the pressure. In terms of the $90,000, please remember that your mid-year budget review should be coming up here shortly, and you should be preparing your next budget. During that next budget cycle, the City Council signed last year in an agreement with the hoteliers as we moved through our process for the bid, that they would be increasing year on year that general fund contribution. And it is a signed document by the mayor of this city that money should be going to $120,000 this year. So you will be able to increase the pressure that you cause with these grant funds. So I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Joan. Any other public comment? Okay. Do we need a motion or just receive and file on those? Receive and file. Okay, perfect. Next, we're going to take presentations for the website refresh and platform changes. And it looks like we have five presentations.
Yep. I'm going to give a quick intro on this just so
please
all of us are up to speed. So the morrobay.org site was built in 2015. And when it was built, it was very advanced. It was working really well for at that time. And there's been huge changes in web and social media and interaction online. I mean, literally, even the last 12 to 14 months, I mean, it is we're seeing drastic changes. And I know we've talked about this with you in the last several months. We keep talking about, you know, organic searches and how that's changing. So our review now is really not looking at how bad the site is. The question is, how do we take our site and bring it up to date? So is that a total rebuild? Is it looking at changing platforms? And I don't know the answer right now to that. Some of the things that I wanted to mention, and we've talked about this before, I want to just bring them up to you again. Some of the problems overall that we're having is organic searches are trending down. Organic searches are mainly below the fold now, and so Google is not picking those up. This is one of the things that we've talked about, is how do we address that? How do we address the fact that now conversational search is getting so strong with Siri and Alexa, and how do we grab those when they're not being grabbed right now? So that's one of the things that I think the presenters will talk about. So what I did was I sent out proposals in December, and I had five different groups that responded back and wanted to come present what they've done as far as tourism goes, and they all have really strong backgrounds with tourism websites. And so I've asked them to bring to you some samples of other sites that they've done so you can see their work, as well as just talk about fundamentally how they would make morrobay.org better for us. What I'm looking for you as a board is one of two things, or it can be something different if you would like, but my recommendation is either one, to review the five presentations and narrow it down to two and ask me to go back and start assessing financially how that fits in our budget. I do have money allocated for it that I can use. So that would be the first thing, or the other thing would be for you to recommend a subcommittee to be built. and that subcommittee go in and review the five responders and narrow it down to bring back to you. The only thing that I do want to mention on if we do a subcommittee is that currently the current Moby Managed site, I think it runs through April, and so we really need to start getting on this and either extend that contract out temporarily while we figure this out or find who we want to sign the new contract with to rebuild it. Okay?
Thank you, Jennifer.
Is that reasonable? Yeah.
Same format? Are we going to give 5 minutes, or is there a time limit?
No. So I've given them 15 minutes each plus 5 minutes questions because their presentations are fairly big. At the most, we will not go over that at all. So I would, as far as who is presenting today, I would recommend that you try to keep it shorter so the board has more time to ask questions would be my recommendation. That's all I have. Good?
Sounds good. So first, it looks
so
like
the first
Moby
one
Managed.
Is going to be Moby Managed. They are the company that built the current site, and so Doug Ralston is going to come up and talk about the site.
We are.
All right,
hi, great. Welcome.
Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. As Jennifer said, we provided and built the site 3 or almost 4 years ago. Technology has definitely changed dramatically. Oh, do I? Okay. Okay.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, what's your name?
Doug Ralston. We were originally from Moby Manage, and we've recently done a rebrand into OmniX. So OmniX is short for Omni Experiences, and I'll talk a little bit about that name change and the technology change. Try to keep it pretty quick. But we are the incumbent. Obviously, we built the site about 3 or 4 years ago. And as Jennifer is saying, technology's changed a lot. A lot of things that I think we can do. I'll also go through a quick agenda for you guys today, which will be kind of reporting on the current status of the website, just to give you an update of some of the things that we've been working on to keep it, you know, obviously working as good as possible until the decision's made on what you want to do next step. So I'll go through the agenda a little bit so you understand a little bit about us and some of the changes in our new brand. Keep that pretty quick, go to the existing site, and then show you quick some examples of what we do, and hopefully that'll kind of get into some Q&A, okay? First and foremost, Moby, obviously very, very entrenched into mobile experiences, has really moved into what we call omnichannel. I'm not going to take a ton of time, but just to give you an idea of why the omnichannel is important for destinations. And in our organization, Omni, we focus on hospitality, travel and tourism, and retail. Those are our three core markets. And we work with some amazing brands from all sides, over 100 destinations, over about 100 different hotel brands, et cetera, that we work with. So we understand the intricacies of these technologies and getting people to the web and also communicating to them through multiple channels. So it's not just about web anymore. It's very focused on social, obviously very focused on mobile, local, obviously interaction, and then new devices that are coming out obviously every year, things and new technologies that are advancing. So that was the migration from Moby into Omni, the vision behind the idea of going from an information age to an experience age. And that is really, especially with the millennial markets and the things and the travelers becoming people that are occupying hotels, 40 and under in some cases, being the fastest growing market right now in travel and tourism. So we focus very much on that. The technology, as we really grow into this new market, is really understanding how we drive that engagement, how we drive revenue, how we bring people into a destination, but not just about bringing people to the destination, but also how do we get them to experience a destination and continue to come back. And we do that through some very unique things that we've built within our new technology, and that is Once a website is built, that imagery and the information can actually transform into other types of solutions. Very focused on mobile, but also through touchscreen kiosks, maybe through visitor centers or other areas in the city, digital displays, and ways to extend that messaging out to what we call the customer journey or the visitor journey. So that's really the primary reason of the shift between Mobi and Omni. And the idea of the new technology upgrade that we've done is obviously utilizing the most advanced technology, but also understanding that now destinations as a whole can really look at that foundational-based service. And once they build onto this new foundation with the newer technologies, it's not about always having to go in and actually replace the technology. It's just about doing maybe updates in the brand. So the idea here is to be able to take that investment and continue to improve on it. And so you guys have made an investment into our older platform. The newer one, as we're launching into the beginning of this year, will get you to that next level of this Omni really engagement. And you'll see this very deeply into the hotel industry as well. So everything we do, obviously, is about managing dynamic content across your website, across mobile, integration of social and user-generated content, which I'll briefly go over high level, and ensuring that we're really getting those direct marketing channels that are bringing things in from the events that I've heard about today, as well as really converting people from the things that they see that people are doing from user-generated content, Instagram, so Facebook, et cetera, but also making sure that's a very primary part of the website. And from our core, knowing that we, yes, very focused on destination, but also very focused on overall how are people getting retailers and increasing retail activity, increasing hospitality activity, and bringing that into the destination market. The trends that we're seeing through hospitality is that the hospitality is very much focused on the destination, which you'll see here. And some of the larger markets we serve, obviously, this is something where they're really trying to bring these pieces together. So from the side of today's discussion, really talking about the technology refresh, being able to give a good migration between your current site and going into the newer technologies, but also keeping in mind that there's going to be new advancements in devices and things that we'll want to make sure and keep in mind. So I'm going to kind of skip right into the next phase, so unless you guys have any questions about our organization or what we do from a technology standpoint. Okay. I wish the visuals were a little bit easier for you guys, but obviously you're aware of your current site, so I'll give you a quick update on the current site. I think Jennifer said it very well. 3.5 years ago when we built this site, it was one of the coolest sites out there. I think still it holds its own, which is a testament that we had some really good designers and really good feedback from the marketing side on Jennifer's team. But ultimately, you've got great visuals, you've got great interaction, and obviously the core for us is that there's been a ton of shifts between social and obviously the search engines themselves. So we did do a quick update on that. We used Rick, which is one of your consultants on the SEO side, to go through and do some improvements. We did that over the last couple of weeks and have finished those improvements. So Rick should start to see some direct impact on some of the things that were impacting some of the traffic and help that really increase. So I think that at this point the site's really stable. You've got now the new SEO upgrade, so we'll be looking to see Rick's feedback and making sure that the site continues to run good as you decide to do your refresh and see if we can get you to the next generation of technology. Any questions on the current site or what you're doing right now with the current website?
Doug, you might be better off just go through your, because you're going to run out of time,
yeah,
and
sure.
Then let them do questions.
Okay.
I didn't mention it, but this little thing up here on the corner, it'll go yellow when you're at less 1 minute. So
okay. All right.
Not
I'll
to make you panic. But
no problem then. So the update on the site, it's looking really good. I think we'll get some feedback from Rick, and we'll see how that traffic increases and ensure that we're continuing to get some good response there. Let's go into some of the things that we've done, and I'll show you some of the solutions that we've kind of built. You'll see within each one of our products that we build, we focus very much on mobile. Over 50% of your traffic, and even some, in some cases more, is going to be coming from mobile. So we focus on a mobile-first strategy, integrated with user-generated content, great visuals, focusing on the events and the things that make the destinations unique and tie into, of course, opportunities to do a call of action, which is obviously allow for hotel bookings and ways that they can convert that into revenue, into obviously getting people to stay an extra night or to book over a weekend, et cetera. So you'll see that within each one of our products, we try to make sure we really focus in on that component of it. Again, being that our DNA is really in the mobile and social world, we've been really focusing on ensuring that we can bring together all of the different aspects with the changes on Instagram and Facebook and all the things that we can do to make sure that the websites are built and that they're really highlighting the key things that are unique within the destination. So you'll see this with VA Wine. You'll see this with Berkeley. You'll see this with Yosemite, which are some of the sites that I kind of referenced here, and I apologize. It's hard to kind of see some of these. But you'll see within the core pieces of what we do from our destination side is that we're really trying to drive the consistency of brand. And I think that's something that's really prevalent throughout everything that we've done is migration into the Omni side, is that no matter whether you connect with Morro Bay on social media, whether you connect with them through the website, whether you connect through other means, that consistency across each one of those channels is obviously prevalent throughout the website. So you'll see that from the mapping side, from the event side, from the integration, and the overall consolidation of content and data within each one of the websites that we've built. The Berkeley one's probably the most recent one that we've done, and although it was heavily designed by their staff, we did make sure that we kept the key predominant things about it, which is calls to action right in the beginning, obviously allowing that booking integration as well as integration on some of the things that Jackrabbit and other type of engines provide to allow for the hotel bookings overall. Mappings of key areas so you can understand the core areas within each one of the destination spots and the good things you can do or the cool things you can do within those key areas as well. And then, of course, social media. So you'll see in each one of our sites now we integrate what we call user-generated content. This is what's unique about our platform right now, because it is all built into the solution, so which means Instagram, Twitter, all those other things that are going through as people are posting things, there's a curation process, and we can go through and make sure that those are updated, and those are obviously integrated to the point of where it really can drive traffic. And I think that's one of the things that we really want to do with the new site, is look at ways that we can incorporate all the new things that are happening with social and ensure that, because we know that over 80% of people make decisions by what they see on social media, and we want to make sure that that's a very big part of that. And you'll see that integrated throughout Berkeley. Another unique part of that is Berkeley actually did the omni-channel as well. The omni-channel being that they are deploying digital displays in their visitor centers, which allows them to monetize those with advertising and local members. They're also implementing kiosks inside their visitor center. And what the core of that is that it's all powered by the website. Once the website was done, we were able to roll out this new technology and utilize it to do things like capture data, as well as implement ticketing systems and other things across these new platforms. And that's probably the core thing I would say to take away from what we do, is that the website is the foundational piece that starts this visitor journey. But the other parts that come into place, which you guys will be progressing over the years, is something that we've already really built into the foundational part of our technology. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, some stats here real quick on what we saw right from the beginning. We saw a huge increase on time on the site when we got Berkeley done, and we're able to really see that impact people as they navigated there. And then the mobile visits shot up extensively because we really focused on that mobile experience, realizing that most people are really hitting the site, going through social media and other things, which obviously is integrated in their personal device. And then, of course, social referrals really went up, too, and that's been a big driving factor. They're also utilizing that to increase bookings and hotels and things like that through the social media directly integrated into the site, allowing that each one of the platforms really has that experience and calls to actions within each one of the key components there. This is just kind of the proliferation of the website into these different products. Big Sky Montana and some of the other ones are also doing this type of technology where we're looking at mobile applications and things to bring out unique things within the destinations, like gamification, scavenger hunts, interactive trails, if there's, with the hiking and things that are around here. So know that there's also a set of tools that are built into our platform that allows you to do some newer technology things, even above and beyond the website piece. And that's really, again, the core part of what we do from Omni side of it. Some of the technology, I don't know how much time I'm tracking. I'm trying to cover pretty. 3 minutes. Okay, cool. So from the content management side, Jennifer and I had some pretty big discussions on this because we did do a complete technology refresh and are launching the new platform over the next few months. With that new technology, we looked at heavily into personalization. That means time of day, location, where these people are coming from, and being able to serve up content based on what they like and need. You see this with the search engines. You go out and you look for a refrigerator, and all of a sudden, everything online is popping up refrigerators. Well, the idea here is the same concept, but taking it to the point of where it starts to customize that content as users start to use it, especially on the mobile device. I'm in a particular location. I get a notification. If I'm sitting, you know, in a part of Morro Bay, it tells me about an event. It tells me, it interacts with me and allows the technology in the site to really drive that interaction through the new content management system. I would say, coupled with the technology, our design and our creative is probably what makes us the most unique on what we do. If you look at our sites, they're all very customized for the destination. We don't cookie cutter things. You can't go to multiple destinations and see that you're going to see the same site over and over. We make sure that it's custom. Our foundation is based on that because every brand is unique, and that is very important for us. And so we've got some great designers, people from Nike that work for me now, and that design and the user experience is very core to what we do as well. So you'll see a lot of those tools scattered throughout our proposal. Mobile strategy we pretty much covered, but again, a lot of the customizations, gamification, integration with social media, and a big focus on the mobile-first strategy. Social media overall, we do have a user-generated content platform integrated, so that means that it's very simple and affordable for you to add in these new tools and to allow people that are very specific on social media and other things like SEO. So we have a good inner working within our company to set up the infrastructure to allow the people that really are the best at what they do to be able to focus and use these tools to generate more traffic for you guys and obviously revenue and bookings. I will kind of get down here to the very end here. So we've talked a lot about the ability for us to really take the new site, redesign it, refresh, bring in some of the newer technologies, and create a solution that I think will take you guys up into the next 10 years of destination marketing, as well as we've forged partnerships within the platform with everything from Uber to Airbnb to TripAdvisor, integration with over 15 different CRM systems, integration with other types of extensions that'll help you guys be able to take and future-proof what you're really trying to do here to get to the next generation, and also help your members and partners to be more integrated into the site, allow easy updates for them, ability to push content and information. And this is really focused on the ability for us to take this new software to make it very easy for our customers to continue to expand. Okay? The rest of it's just a few testimonials and things like that. Of course, we've had some good success there. And if there's any questions, of course, I'm here to answer them.
Nice timing.
I flew pretty fast. I know I was talking fast. So.
Yeah. Any questions, board?
I had a quick question. So being that you were the contractor that we've been with for a while, are there benefits financially for us staying with you, considering that now that you have a new Omni structure and such and have a new website design that you'll be doing? I mean, that pretty much levels you on the field with the other presenters, correct?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. From what we've presented here, you should see a significant decrease in cost moving to the migration from our current system into the new system. So I put those cost benefits in there to show, you know, obviously of your continued, you know, work with us and business with us, and to give you guys some discounts into moving into the new platform. So there is some reduction not only in cost but also in time to market.
That sounds great. In ownership of the site, in my experience with my company, the web person who you're working with, the contractor, them owning the site can oftentimes equate into having difficulties with costly changes, cost in small modifications, cost in data collection from custom adjustments and such. Can you give me a little feedback on that?
Yeah, I think you'll see over time what we've been able to do is keep those costs pretty low. I mean, I think we could have done some things differently in the beginning, but pretty much everything that we have will keep the site running and keep everything really updated to the sense of the technology and where you're at. As far as improvements and things that you want to do, typically, you know, no more than probably any other person in my industry, usually you budget those type of projects. So everything that's included in their monthly includes all the updates as far as management from the technology standpoint. You guys have full control over the site and being able to add new things or do different things, so you can manage that yourself. If we need to help and do anything, then typically it's an hourly fee, and we usually build in about 5 hours per month to do, you know, little updates and things that you might need.
Right. So with it being a mobile market, as you spoke of, and it was like 50% of the or greater is mobile traffic. A mobile market's very liquid. It changes so rapidly. I mean, that's what mobile market it is. These kind of changes and having our department, such as Jennifer, be able to work with you would be really important for us. So, again, just as I spoke with the grant, my feedback that I'm going to want is from her. Thank you for the report.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't know if it's premature since this is my first meeting, but I'm all about cost and benefit. And I don't know if we'll get to that at another meeting or another time. Or
Not today. We will not, Ken.
Yeah. But I did try to put some incentives for you guys in there and do what I can, too, to help keep costs low and make sure the benefit's high.
Well, I think Ken does have somewhat of a valid point, and this would be a question for Scott or Jennifer. What do we have in the line item in terms of a budget? Is there, did we build in something for a refresh?
I have some small money, excuse me, built in about $7,000, but I also have $30,000 that was set aside in case we did a large sponsorship like Amgen or something like that, so I can move that money in my budget accordingly to use for the website. So we're okay financially.
$7,000 doesn't seem like a lot to me.
Plus 30.
So you wouldn't recommend taking that into consideration when we're hearing these presentations at this point?
I would not. I'm very familiar with all of the presenters and financially where they stand, and it'll fit in our budget. I think this is really about who's going to give us what we really need and who's going to get us to that next step. So my biggest challenge is how do we connect from Jackrabbit and they hop off sites. You know, we don't have that link, and I know that we've talked about this, that it's just an inherent problem with our industry. So how do we adapt that on our website with our KPIs, or I'm looking for recommendations from them on how we can get closer to tracking hotel room bookings.
So since you're on this, and I only need to ask this once, with all of these presenters, I mean, for me, the most important thing is your feedback on that, and you're looking for a recommendation at the end. So right now, what should I be looking at from these presenters that is what you want for me to give you a recommendation?
Sure. So we have a few things. One is how do we grow our bookings, and how do we track our bookings? Is there a way to do that, and do they have a recommendation to do that? Some of the things that has been missing is the Google searches don't go all the way through currently, and I think that Doug has fixed that, but that's been a big problem on our current site, so we're losing our Google tracking right now. If you remember, our looking at our numbers, they've gone down. Our SEO numbers have gone down over the last few months strictly from organic searches changing, and like I said, I think that Siri and Alexa, it's going to keep growing and it's going to keep going down, and I want the recommendation on how do we address that? How do we keep growing our site when that speech has not been addressed with how Google is going to get analytics on that yet? I don't know if you have any knowledge. I don't, but if there's...
Well, the voice activation is definitely big, and we're deep into the integration of that, especially from web and mobile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's changing definitely. You're right.
But to me, the biggest thing is about hotel rooms. We all boil down to that. The reason why all of us are here today is to book rooms, bottom line. So that means getting people to the destination as a whole. So I thought Doug's idea of the platform in town and the kiosk, I mean, that's all really great, but I really need to know how is hotels going to benefit when they get onto our site, and how are you going to push them through that's going to help grow our rooms.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I think we know that. I mean, the visual side of it, I know there were some discussions on the pricing side of it. Utilizing Jackrabbit's engine, of course, is key. And I think the main thing is you have the calls to action really prevalent there, tied to what people are really looking to do, whether that's the surfboard art or whether that's the Santa crawl or whatever, but connecting those hotels, those rooms with those particular events and making sure there's an association there. That's what you see that Facebook and social media does so well. When you're on there and you're looking at something, you tend to see other things really integrated into what you're looking for and what interests you. And I think that's the big shift with web, is making sure that interest stays solid.
Great. Thank you, Doug.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good job. So number two is...
Verdin Marketing.
Verdin.
This is a local agency here in town. They did have the Morro Bay Tourism contract, just so you're aware, before Metal Marketing. So they do know our business and they do know our county. And Ashley, who is going to be one of the speakers, she is also on the board of CCTC, so her and I interact quite a bit, just so you're aware.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here, excited to share what some ideas and opportunities we have for Morro Bay. As Jen already mentioned, we only have 15 minutes, so we're going to really kind of speed through things. We're not going to really talk about us and our background and the history behind it and the references from the other agent or the other clients that we work with. That's all going to be involved in the proposal as well as our process. So currently we're working with Visit Atascadero and Ventura County Coast. All of that information as far as the results and what we're doing for them will be in the proposal. So we're really going to talk about you guys today. And I'm going to start with some introductions. My name is Ashley Akers. I'm a partner and the Vice President of Client Service with Verdin. And I really head and lead the tourism effort and the strategy behind our tourism clients. I also have with me Megan Condit. She's our art director. She's in charge of the visuals when it comes to the strategy and the goals of what our clients want to achieve. She really makes it happen visually. And then we have Mason Yaffe, who is who's the president of NDIC, and he is our development partner, and he really brings it all to life with whatever we create. He puts the functionality behind it to make it happen. So talking about you, like you said, Jen, I mean, the bottom line, we got to get people here. And so we understand that how we do that, what it takes to do it, it's selling an experience. It's selling what's unique, what's important, what are things that people are going to connect with that want to come to a destination. People don't plan travel by, I want to go to this specific hotel, and that's why I'm going to go to Fiji. It's really like, what is the destination? What are the experiences I want to do? And then they choose a hotel of where they're going to stay. So we really got to understand how to speak to the audience to make them choose Morro Bay. But first, I just wanted to say congratulations because you had a rebrand we saw, and that was really exciting. So kudos to you and your team, and we're excited to see that Put Life on Coast, and I think that that message is really speaking to the character of Morro Bay, what makes you guys unique, and really delivers the promise that you're saying to your visitors. So congrats. So I think it's good to have some foundation and things to know and what's important for as we move forward and we're building out this website for you guys, if we have that opportunity, really understanding the job of the website. What is it supposed to do? What's the purpose? And I think that there's a lot of pieces that go into tourism marketing and getting people and visitors here, but understanding that the website is just one key piece to it, and it has its job to inspire visitors and inspire travel to come to a destination is important. It also has to make sure that it's telling the right story and that it's trying to gain people to come and choose to stay in that location. So when it comes to the actual story itself, that's where it really becomes critical to understand our points of differentiation. Every other coastal destination in California can say a lot of the same things. They can say you have a beach and hiking and biking and great restaurants and wine, but what is it that's going to make it different? What are the things that are going to be incorporated on your site that is going to say, I want to choose that because no other destination has it? And you're lucky because you have The Rock too, so that's definitely always a nice part of the story. The other key element is connecting by emotion. When people now more than ever, especially in this last year's climate, people want to connect with people. I think for a long time it has been how to make it convenient for travelers, which is one asset to an experience, but now people want to immerse themselves in a culture. They want to understand what do the locals do. They want to understand how businesses run and how people are interacting. So that emotional connection, that feeling, is going to be something that we have to definitely display on our website. So when we go and we have a visitor come to the site and they're interacting with our consistent brand, because it'll be important to be consistent with what the marketing is saying as well, we want them to feel relaxed, or we want them to feel engaged and excited about visiting and coming to a really cool place. And finally, sell by experience. I think it's important to understand that, you know, there's a lot of key players that are really doing this well. A long time ago, it was just, you know, these certain sites were just booking rooms and having one purpose. But now we really have to understand what are those key experiences and packages. For example, which I know OTAs can be a challenge at times, but they're doing really well is they are selling experiences, excursions, and packages that are a little bit different. We need to understand that trend. We need to be on top of it. We need to figure out how that's going to interact with our site and how people are going to explore that way. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Megan. She's going to talk through some ideas we have on the visual side for Morro Bay and how we could kind of bring this to life visually.
Hello, thanks for having us. So first of all, tourism sites have to work harder than almost any other site. You can book somewhere else, you can find a favorite restaurant somewhere else, so the website has to own the story of the place, what it's like to be there. And so we want to show you five examples of some very easy to execute, super fun ideas to really get that person to understand what it's like to actually be in this super special place. So the first one, which I think it's catching, but it's a cinemagraph. I don't know if you, for Bermuda, I don't know if you noticed on our other slides, but we've made a few of these. They're stunning. They're interesting. They grab your eye. It's basically a still image, and it's not animating right now, but the fire's moving, and it just brings you a little closer to the destination. They're also simple to make, and these ideas can be updated easily, and they're pretty cost-effective. The next one, do you have it? Mm-hmm. Is it frozen? Oh no. It was too special.
Thanks. We're off sides there, so we're good. All right.
Okay, so you can see the fire. Thank you. Thank you, Mason. So, that's just one way to do it. It's one idea. Visit Greenland takes that to the next level. They have, you'll see a video background. So it's not just a still photo. I'm sure you've seen this on other sites. You can see what it's like to actually stand there, and that's really important. And then below you see the little icons are animating. These are all really small things to execute, but they make a big difference in why do I feel different when I'm on this site rather than Pismo, rather than down the road.
It really is an opportunity to show the character, too. What are those unique characteristics of Morro Bay, and how do we showcase that visually?
So the next one, these are going to ramp up. They just get cooler and cooler. This is Wild Renfrew, and they're utilizing that parallax feel where things move in different timings, and they've jam-packed this site full of textures, and their story's crafted, Stay Wild. This is the kind of story you want to tell for Morro Bay and really bring out all of the features that people actually feel when they're here, because that's the whole job of the website. I mean, to get the inspiration to travel here. And is it frozen again? On the desktop.
Yeah.
We have two.
Oh, two.
So much. So next we have Alberta, and they, well, I can just tell you what they do because it's amazing. Basically, they take a photograph and separate the foreground and the background. We'll send you all a link, and it's just working more with the visuals. What we can do as an agency to create these visuals is pretty simple, but man, it was so beautiful. So next. The next point I want to talk about is what's unique on the website I can't get anywhere else. And part of that is everything that you see here. So, oh gosh, this is so frustrating. This is an interactive map. Basically, we see an opportunity for a point of interest, interactive map that it just engages the user. You can click on different features. You can click on the rock, and it's not just a rock. You can learn how many million years old it is, that it's a remnant of a volcano. You can be blown away by that. You can click down the road and learn that you can actually kayak in the bay and touch the bottom of the ocean floor and touch a sand doll. You're probably not supposed to do that. And learn about pro surf competitions that take place here, and then finally find out about the shell shop that everybody has gone to when they were a kid. And those things are very important because no one else can say those things. And as a visitor, when I'm trying to find where I want to go, I fall in love with those little pieces, and that's how we get people to actually stay here. Oh, see what I'm saying? Look how pretty that is. So this, yeah, goes through the whole site this way. Everything has very subtle, beautiful movement. It's not overwhelming. It just makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah, so we'll definitely provide some links to some of the content that we're looking for and that we see some really neat opportunities for Morro Bay visually as far as the site goes, and we'll jump into kind of the functionality and behind the scenes and how that works with Mason here.
Talk about the technology, and I think you have some challenges with the current platform that have been alluded to, and I'm going to bring those out because we've had another client that we just finished migrating their site from the platform that you all are currently on, and they experience all the exact same issues that you guys are seeing. Is that advancing? No? Yeah, there we go. Okay, so number one, I think this is the most critical thing, and Taylor, I think you sort of spoke to this. It's a proprietary platform, all right? The bottom line is that you have bought into already, and if you're considering the next version of this platform, it's a single vendor, okay? And there's just challenges with that. You have no control. You know, you have one company that you can go to, and if that company isn't performing, it's a question, not a question of whether you can get another developer to help out. It's a question of whether you end that relationship or not. As a result, it's expensive. You have a single source that you can purchase from, and so you're kind of locked into those rates. You don't have the ability on in between contracts to negotiate on a given change. And as a result, it also ends up being a little bit time-consuming. You're stuck. And we know from experience, you're stuck in a queue behind a lot of other clients that are and not necessarily getting served because you don't have any competition, really, once you're locked into that single proprietary system. So our solution, This is Verdin and my company, NDIC, and it's WordPress. How many people have heard of WordPress? Okay, so WordPress is taking the world by storm. It's a platform that runs over a third of the websites in the world. And just to give you an idea, the previous vendor talked about 25 extensions. WordPress has something like 45,000 extensions. Okay, it's an open platform being developed by thousands of people around the world, and a single proprietary system could never compete with that level of development. And so to give you an idea, we've got WordPress sites that have been running for 5-6 years, same platform. You install an update. It's not a major migration to a new platform. A critical aspect of that is you are the owners of the site, okay? So if at some point in time you decide that your current vendor is not working out, you can go to a new vendor who can use that same system. So you own the site and you take it with you. With the current solution, you take nothing with you. It's all in the hands of the current vendor. It's much more cost effective as a result. I think we're talking about differences in price not only between a out-of-town vendor versus a Central Coast vendor and those pricing differences, but you're also talking about a closed platform versus an open platform where you've got a lot more competition that drives the price to you of those services down. And with our team, you're going to get very, very responsive support. So we want to talk to you about the migration process because we've done this before. So taking all of the content that you currently have, the part of the system that you do own, right? You don't own any of the back end, but the part that you do own, we've already written proprietary scripts that grab all of that content and bring it over, okay? And we've done this for Ventura County Coast, and it worked out great. So you get all the existing functionality, but you have access, and you know I think the current system you're on, there's a lot of discussion about the uniqueness of the technology, and I'll tell you, there's not too much unique about technology. I mean, in the web world, we can all do the same thing, and it becomes a question of how efficiently and how cost-effectively you can do it. So we can bring over all the existing functionality, but you get access to a much larger platform, so other functionality is way more accessible. The upgrade path for your website, way, way better. So we've written these proprietary scripts basically that just copy from your current Mobi-based site over to WordPress. And we've done this before, and it was very straightforward. So you're getting proven experience of having moved this from the current platform that you are to a more open source platform. It was successful. Other clients having just the same pain points that you've had on the current closed system are experiencing the wonders of WordPress and being on an open platform.
So we'll open it up for any questions we have.
Great, thank you. Taylor?
Yeah. Thanks.
It's Ashley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley, congratulations on your top 20 under 40 award.
Oh, thank you. I'm set to go to lunch here in 15 minutes.
I was going
to
say. I also was a top 20 under 40 award recipient, right? And one of the things I love about that award is it really points out the young go-getters in our community who know what the community of Morro Bay or San Luis Obispo County is all about, which is really important for me because I know that Morro Bay thrives on our localism. Sometimes it feels like a disease, but it is one of our strengths. So I saw that in your presentation, and I just wanted to say, specifically for Jennifer's questions, how do you plan on growing our booking of hotel rooms and Google search tracking, the two things that she's pointed out? Can you answer those two questions?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to have Mason answer the Google part because I know that's kind of a back end for
us. So the question is
how do you handle the Google search?
So there's the technology essentially has to just allow for good search engine optimization. And after that, it's a content effort, right? It's understanding what those keywords are and making sure that those are throughout the site and that they're pushed throughout all the other types of content that you're delivering, the social content, the blog. So fundamentally, driving traffic in organic search is about an effort. It's a content effort. It's getting quality content related to those keywords out in all the different channels. Does that answer? Does that address your question?
I liked your word effort. I think that was key for me.
It's a level of effort. The more effort you put into it, the better results you get.
So based on that and the open source, I understand that versus a proprietary system. So my question is for the ongoing content, is that shift, I understand the downside of having to queue up with somebody and you're with all their other clients trying to get work done. But does that shift a lot of the burden of the content onto our staff? Or how does it, I just don't understand. Will you just build the site, migrate our information, and then we go from that point forward because it is so open source and other content can be pushed into it, then you step away, or is it a continued effort?
Well, as far as once this proposal specifically is for the website, and then you'll have access to management, so it would really be an understanding of what the management looks like and what there's going to be ongoing monthly management that your team is going to be doing, and I'm sure that your team currently does, and so that would be incorporated into just updating this new site on a monthly basis too, with if there's content changes, visual changes, information like that. So I'm not sure how the structure is set up currently and how it manages your site currently, but that would be just a discussion we would have to have with Jen and the team.
Okay. I'll answer that as well. We will definitely be here for you for as long as you need us to be and want us to be. And one of the key differences is that you're going to have a lot more accessibility on the back end to make changes if you want to. So you can come to us as a partner and have us do them, or you can do them yourself much more readily.
Okay. That helps. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken. Anything?
Yeah, I guess I'm seeing a couple different parts here, and I'm wondering where we're kind of going. Are we talking about migrating what we've got and utilizing better, newer technology? Are we talking about, Jen, updating our content at the same time or as part of a multi-step program?
Just real quick. So there's three different concepts that are being presented. Three of the presenters are doing WordPress, which is what they're doing right now. Moby manages a proprietary system, and then the last, I think, is he last or is he? SimpleView is going to present forth. They're also a proprietary system, but heavy, heavy depth into tourism. So we have all different concepts on there. In any of them, Ken, like just right now, my staff manages a lot of the just basic stuff. I mean, we are not website people, but we do. We upload events, and we upload our landing pages for specials with hotels, and we do all the monthly hotel, if they're doing specials, things like that. That's just a lot of busy work, and it's, I don't think it's something that we'd want to task an agency with financially to do. I need them to do the build, do all the, make sure all of our H1 tags are functioning well, that we're not having errors throughout the site. That back end is really critical, that you know we have good response and is built right. That's not my expertise at all. Yeah.
Super.
Great. Thank you.
Very quick. I just have an IT question. Yeah. You know, the movement in there is amazing. It catches your eye. Obviously, there was some complications with the presentation. Is that potentially going to freeze the average computer or the user? Are they going to have complications with that too, or this is just because of PowerPoint, you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's just
PowerPoint. Yeah, it's 100% PowerPoint. I mean, those sites that we showed as examples have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of visitors. And so the technology delivered to your browser, very well known, works great, looks awesome, is actually somewhat simple but is impactful. So yeah. Good question. Thank you.
So that technology would be totally accessible on my iPhone, which is where I live.
Right.
It degrades, so some things are not necessarily going to display on a mobile device or a tablet, and it depends, of course, on the device. But responsive design means that it will degrade well so that it will still look as good as it can possibly look on every device.
I have a couple questions, too, before we dismiss you guys real quick. So for our competitive set, who else are you under contract with right now?
Currently, we're working with Visit Atascadero and Ventura County Coast.
And what do you do for both of them?
Ventura County Coast Agency of Record, so we do all of the marketing and advertising, creative. We are not their PR and social team right now. For Visit Atascadero, we do public relations, social media, and all the advertising marketing.
Okay, great. And then I'm just wondering about Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
What your thought is on Jackrabbit as a whole, if you have a better thought for us besides Jackrabbit. I know it's a big question, but
That's a
big deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think I want to be honest. I think that the honest answer to that is we're seeing a lot of destinations not utilize that third-party booking engine and really try to have direct bookings. And so we've seen destination sites kind of linked, you know, have book now and it links directly to the reservation page of your guys' hotel site. So we've seen that kind of as a trend that, you know, might be more effective. I have not used Jackrabbit in the past as far as it's something I know that we've already talked about that we can incorporate into a WordPress site. We're not worried about that. But it was just a matter of, you know, we're seeing more activity. It's more about, you know, trying to get people here through that experience. And if they have the opportunity to book, and they can go direct to your booking engine or to your booking page on your site.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
Okay. Number three.
This is mental marketing. So mental, obviously they're our agency of record. They do some work as just being a helpful side for our current website. They don't manage the website. That was Doug Ralston's business. But mental does help me with setting up a lot of front-end things for our current website.
And I'm sorry, Jennifer, is there going to be a total of five or just three? Five.
Good morning. My name is Bill Stansfield. I'm the president of Mental Marketing. And Mary Ann Stansfield, your account executive, couldn't be here today. She is also ill with the flu. Today we have Dan Gary. He is our strategic partner over at Proof Interactive. And since we are limited in time, I'm going to hand the ball right over.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks very much, everyone. My name is Dan Gary. I'm the president of Proof Interactive. We're the digital services partner with Mental Marketing. I just have to say, there's this really awesome little cat wandering around here who's been like saying hello to everyone back here. So I just want to commend staff on their thoughtfulness for providing pet therapy for nervous speakers like me. And I think that's a whole new level of preparation there. That's pretty impressive. I also want to say thank you to the previous presenters. It's always nice to hear colleagues of ours in the creative business, in the industry, commending some of our work and put life on coast. We appreciate that comment, and thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk with you a little bit about our capabilities here. I hope I'm using this correctly. Just a little bit about our team and on website development here. We know tourism. We know tourism, we know hospitality. I'm going to speak directly to pieces on search and also on the booking features a little bit later on down the line. It's a mobile-first world. You design from a mobile-first strategy. We are very proud of and experts in reservations integration for very diverse, very unique systems. All of our hotel operators here in Morro Bay, everyone's using, you know, different reservation systems. We believe very strongly in direct booking. I did a presentation about 3 years ago to a lunch and learn group at the Venetian in Palazzo. At one time, we were their only external creative outlet. Everything else was being done internally. And I titled the presentation, The Indispensable Enemy, and it was about the hotel industry's relationship with online travel agencies. In my opinion, Jackrabbit is an online travel agency, and we are enabling an online travel agency to capture your revenue from direct booking. So I'm just personally sort of mystified by, you know, by that sort of strategy. These are your bookings. It is our job to make sure that your reservation systems that work for you individually and for all of your colleagues out in the hotel industry here in Morro Bay, that we make it work for you in a trackable, an event trackable, and an accountable fashion. I'd like to just kind of focus on this particular piece of ours. We're very proud to be the provider for the downtown the Downtown Center Business Improvement District, which is downtown LA. DowntownLA.com is an iconic website. We had the pleasure of redoing a couple of different times now, actually, as the programs have developed. But they came to us with some very unique challenges. We also work in the open source environment. We work principally in the Joomla area, which is very similar to WordPress. It's just a little more powerful platform for custom developers. We are not limited to the extensions being made out there in the open source area. We build our own. If we need it for a client, we can create it. This is a great example of this. One of the key assets that the Downtown Center bid had was a very detailed, massive database of every building and every business in the Business Improvement District. I mean, it was a cast of thousands putting this database together, right? So what we did is we took advantage of that, and we created a platform for visitors, for potential residents of the area, and for potential businesses considering moving into the downtown Los Angeles area. And so they can go to a building finder, and not only can they go to the building finder and find out all the details of that particular structure, but what is the part, why would someone move? You know, the insight from the client was, why would someone move to downtown LA? Why would they be interested in doing that? And part of it's the lifestyle of being there, right? So what are people going to look at? What's nearby? Is there a sushi restaurant? Is there a great gym? Is there what's the parking like? What's the ATMs like? So they can focus on that and then use a sub navigation and find out that information from a block to block level. And we built that in an open source system, completely content managed. We also created this unique calendaring system so that all of the BID's partners and, you know, participating groups inside the Business Improvement District were able to submit their events, and it creates this one master calendar that is searchable by users based on the kind of events that they're interested in. This is a huge site, and I can tell you that the number one most visited area is the happy hour finder, right? So that's our number one thing, but if you're interested in arts, culture, entertainment, you can sort through the calendar through that function. Again, the finding a business is you can see the number here before you start filtering. It's a massive number. Again, it's completely mobile responsive. We work with clients large and small. We're very proud of that. We're agnostic on whether or not we want to have, you know, very big enterprise clients or very small clients, and we are a small but mighty team, so we're really careful about who we work with, right? It's a very personal experience for us, and every website project is a conversation. Every client of ours is not a cast of thousands. They're people we get to know very well, just as, you know, you already know us and our mental marketing partners. This client right here, this is Las Vegas' oldest civic celebration. This is the Elks Lodge, but it's a huge deal in the city of Las Vegas. It's kind of famous from a movie in the 1930s called El Dorado. But we provide all of the event management online in association with PBR, the Professional Bull Riders Association, which manages the actual rodeo, and we sort of handle the online marketing for every other piece that's happening here. We know entertainment. We've helped numerous locations rebrand that were facing very unique challenges. We're also proud partners of the Central City Association of Los Angeles, and working with them on all of their projects where it's the collaboration between themselves and the city government as well. Every time they have a unique partnership, and, you know, we're not finding a canned solution or something like that. We basically build it ourselves for them. We're also very proud of our email marketing capacity. We think it's very important for your web developer to be very active in the email marketing area. We build gorgeous, mobile responsive email marketing messages, and we build plans so that when it's yield management in the hospitality area group wide, that we're able to execute, you know, a special offers for remarketing purposes in a very short period of time. We're also very active in the development of email marketing campaigns for public entities, public-private partnerships as well. We sweat the details on email marketing. This is one of the things I always show. This drives me crazy. When you're looking at your phone, if you live on your iPhone, like Taylor said here, and you see your directory of email that's come in, you'll see that the one on the bottom here has an image link showing there rather than, you know, any text showing. That is a sure sign to the user that this is a commercially deployed email, not a personal message meant for me. We sweat the details. Every one of our email marketing campaigns includes the use of pre-header text so that you get a second bite of the apple for a mobile user prior to them deciding which of their morning mail they're going to be deleting. Analytics are extremely important, not only in your website, but also in your email marketing campaigns. We provide detailed analytics through our platform, which is either can be executed by a client or it can be at a very low cost. Basically, we handle the deployments ourselves. We're also very creative centric on the digital advertising and in the social space. We've created numerous social contests. This one in particular, Culinary Clash, we're at the beginning of that special program for the Venetian and Palazzo resorts. We've also done for special events, video contests and others, fully integrated with Facebook and with other social channels. The challenge with doing that, of course, is that tabs and those sorts of things are very difficult in a mobile environment. So basically what you're doing is you're actually doing sort of three pieces when you build those. You're building the piece for the desktop version of Facebook, but you don't want to keep it just for Facebook users. You build an anywhere page that resides on your brand channel website, and then you build kind of its own unique structure for the mobile environment on that, because we want social participation. We also want people to be able to share those contests to people who maybe aren't on social or not, at least not logged in at the time that it's shared with them. Just a little bit about the vision here for the website here. This is your current site right here. You know, social sharing tools are extremely important. You've made note that, you know, on your analytics that a lot of your metrics are down. Part of that is some of the things that Facebook is doing at this time in terms of, you know, reorienting its focus on what they allow into users' news feeds. So it is a major challenge for the next website development to empower its users to be social sharers, for them to be our marketers. Because when someone shares it themselves, it's going to end up in news feeds, about 30% of their friends' news feeds. If we're sharing promotional content, you're sharing promotional-based content on your business-based social channels, about 3% of the people are going to actually see it who are your actual followers. Because that's typically the number of people who go beyond the default and say see first or, you know, others in terms of their like level of your organization. It's really important to develop a system for easy content management. I couldn't agree more with the previous group. Open source is the way to go, because talk about future-proofing. You know, when you have a proprietary system, the roadmap for your platform is limited to the roadmap of a single company. When you use an open source system like WordPress or Joomla, or if you're the federal government using Drupal, Drupal is the BlackBerry of content management systems. We'd all still be flipping a wheel on the side if we all use that. But the main thing here is the future-proofing of that, because updates, security issues, all these things, this is worked on by a community that's worldwide. We're very active members of WordPress, but also very active members of the Joomla community as well. Did I mention direct booking? Yes. This is something who is experienced in the hospitality and tourism industry that just drives me crazy, which is the OTA challenge is that, you know, we need to create opportunities for you for direct booking, and then for the website and for your providers in that area to be accountable for moving that into that funnel. But once it moves into the purchase funnel, this is your revenue. This isn't Jackrabbit's revenue. This isn't hotels.com revenue. We work for this board. This board represents the hotel industry, not the online in Morro Bay, not the online travel agency industry here in Morro Bay. And we think it's extremely important to work on unique solutions for each property. So another important thing that we would really recommend and would like to see is basically the ability for users to create their own unique experience. Again, kudos to the group prior to us. It's an emotional experience. And the emotional experience online when you're a visitor is before your vacation, during your vacation, and after it as well. Half the fun of being on going on vacation is sharing it with people, and then sharing the experiences you have during and afterwards. So we would recommend the creation of a website that allows that person to go through all of the wonderful places to stay here, the wonderful places to eat and drink, the festivals, the events that we have here, and basically create their own. Basically create their own unique link that's socially shareable by email, also easily and trackable on social sharing on different panels, and let them create their own Morro Bay experience. When someone visits a place and falls in love with a place, like people do here in Morro Bay, they're falling in love with the whole area and the emotion of it. They're also falling in love with that favorite restaurant that they went to or that hotel property that they had a great experience in as well, and it becomes theirs. So let's give them the opportunity to create their own unique link, title it, and be able to share that experience with their friends as well. This little kitty down here, this is how people feel on the rare occasions I go on vacation. That's how I feel. And I think our website development for you ought to have that sense of excitement and that sense of proud ownership of a vacation experience. And just thank you. I hope I got under 15 minutes, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Super. Thank you. Good job. Any questions, board?
Yeah, I'm just not that familiar. What was it, Joomba?
Yes.
Joomba. I'm not familiar with that versus WordPress. Same capabilities, and you say your company works with both. And
we do.
But primarily when you're working with hospitality and all, are you using the Joomba, and what is the strengths you see of that? I assume that's what you're recommending or saying you would use for our platform if selected.
We would, simply because our capability strengths in the custom development area, you know, tend to run towards that. They're both content management systems that are hierarchy structured. They work very similar from the non-technical user standpoint for content management. I mean, they're, you know, think of it as, you know, content management is like, it's a file cabinet, right? The website's the file cabinet, and there's drawers, files, and the pieces of paper inside. It's that sort of a database structure. It runs in the exact same languages, programming languages, server languages, all of those different things. The platform underneath it, yeah, with Joomla, is just a little more powerful of a platform, and it allows a company that has exceptional custom programming skills, you know, typically, like WordPress is great, and there are some awesome WordPress developers out there for sure. But typically, like in WordPress development, what you sort of see in the back end is like an endless series of like plugins, right? Or you take an organization and you find a theme, and you take that organization, you stuff the organization into a particular theme that's purchased, right? For WordPress, I see it all the time. So the idea is to not do that. It's basically like build a site around the organization and the organization's needs rather than the other way around. As a marketer, not as a programmer myself, as a marketer, between WordPress and Joomla, I mean, listening to people debate the merits of that, you know, I don't care, right? I really don't. What we want is the best platform, you know, for a client so that we can provide that personal service, you know, rapidly at a low cost, and for us it's one, and for other people it would be, you know, a different platform.
Taylor, go ahead.
So, Mental Marketing is our contractor for public relations and marketing, correct?
Correct.
So, by having our web also, we would have all three of our major investments under the same house, Jennifer?
Until the contract ends at the end of June 2018, and that's when we're doing the RFP for the new agency review.
Is there a cost benefit to this?
I don't think so.
May I interject? There is a benefit to actually having it under one house because of the integration of social public relations all combined with what the website is presenting. So there is definitely some synergies to having it under one roof. Not necessary, though.
And I remember from your presentation for the marketing public relations, one of your strengths is the Southern California, Los Angeles market. I felt like you were very, very strong with that. I'm seeing that again in your presentation here with the website. Is this true?
Yes, this is true. I am a native, live here, you know, of course, we reside here as well.
with over 10 years, I think, in destination marketing.
And if I can elaborate on the local expertise, too, that extends itself in search, because it's important when you are talking about your search analytics, it's important that we understand that search is very hyper-local now. So what we need to work on from an SEO basis, and part of what we're going to be doing is, you know, I mean, content transfer is great, but there needs to be a solid audit and then a really solid evaluation of our existing content, what we need to do on that to hit the three key pillars of search, which are relevance, accessibility, and trust, right? So the trust factor is mostly off-site work in terms of link building and premium link building and others, but that accessibility and relevance is about the content and about the technical structure of the site. And with those things and the trust factor, it's, you know, we are looking to be in a local three pack, right? Is page one, the local three search. I mean, that's a home run for search, but from where? I mean, we need to focus. My recommendation is focusing your SEO efforts on hyperlocal search from key feeder markets. I mean, because those are the areas where we have our lowest hanging fruit in terms of potential visitors.
One last question from me to you, sir. So in my experience with website, I'm a WordPress fan.
Yeah.
WordPress has more support, more people know it. It has more plugins and integration with other apps. Is this true in your opinion?
No. It's the debate between the two. The Joomla community is a massive community. The WordPress community is very large as well. It's overwhelmingly used more often, but it's used often in, you know, they say that like the bulk of the planet's websites run on WordPress. The bulk of the planet's websites are like kind of simple blogs, perhaps, right? So, I mean, one of the great values of WordPress as well is that it's sort of plug and play, right? You can, you know, you need a website, you can download a theme, install WordPress. Most hosting systems, actually, you just hit a button inside the hosting system to add the install. It does the default version of the install of that. So it's definitely more popular, for sure. But in terms of its capacities, there are, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of extensions that are out there that are available for Joomla. We use them as well, but if we have a unique need, like the downtown LA project I showed earlier, we build it ourselves.
Super. Thank you, Bill and Dan. Any other questions? Okay. And Bill, you said Marianne is your wife?
Correct.
Correct. Tell her we hope she feels better soon. Huh?
I will. She's watching.
Yeah. I have a couple questions. Are you guys all done? Do you have any other questions for them? So, Bill, why don't you just tell the board the competitive set that you also are under contract with in this area, just so they know who else you represent?
Who else we represent? We represent the Highway 1 Discovery Route, of course, which is all the unincorporated properties from Ragged Point down to Napomo. And currently, that is it locally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Number four.
Yep. Next up is SimpleView. So SimpleView is the new platform that SloCal has just moved over to. I don't know if you've had a chance. I mean, literally, I think it's been up for a week and a half. It's pretty great, pretty strong new site, and so. I think you'll enjoy hearing his presentation. This is a proprietary site, similar to the one that Doug presented, but really, really heavy DMO background and experience, so I think worth looking at.
I'm going to put a timer on myself here so I can see what we're doing.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Bate. I'm the Senior Director of Business Development at SimpleView. Jennifer just mentioned one of the examples that I was going to talk about today, our work with Visit SloCal. I do want to point out before I get started, just to clarify, SimpleView's technology actually is not a proprietary system. It's what we would refer to as a hybrid system. It's all based on open source code. Actually, the code we use is the largest code repository on GitHub in the world, so hundreds of thousands of developers around the world know our code and can develop on our code and our platform. It's not walled off. However, the reason we refer to it as a hybrid is that we have taken this open source code and created a platform designed specifically for the destination marketing industry. So it already has all of the features, functions, modules, widgets, integrations that destinations need versus having to start with a Joomla or a WordPress and customize it from there. WordPress, for example, as has been mentioned, has a huge community. There are thousands and thousands of extensions. However, those are relatively limited in terms of what they can do. Ultimately, in order to develop what you need to thrive in this industry, you then need to customize those solutions in WordPress, essentially creating the same thing we have done, a hybrid solution. So I just wanted to address that before I forget, and I'll go ahead and move through my presentation here. So again, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Wanted to talk a little bit about SimpleView in terms of who we are and what we do. There we go. So we have more than 225 employees across multiple offices throughout the United States and abroad. We're headquartered in Arizona. I'm one of the lucky folks that are in our San Diego office, so had a nice drive up here. And we work exclusively with destination marketing organizations. We do not work with hotels or retail or any other verticals. We work exclusively with destination marketing organizations, more than 500 of them across the country and around the world, actually more than 30 DMOs like yours and many TBIDs in California specifically, a handful listed here. We talked about SLO nearby, and more than 20 others throughout the state. We provide a variety of products and services for the destination marketing industry. We got our start as a company nearly 20 years ago designing and developing websites for destination marketing organizations or tourism marketing organizations. We have built and developed products and services designed, again, specifically for this industry. And we have designed and built more tourism websites than any other company, period. Hundreds and hundreds of tourism websites. So with all due respect to the other agencies in this room and their fine work, they have designed and developed a relatively small handful of tourism websites compared to SimpleView. So hundreds and hundreds of other organizations like yours have gone through this process, have evaluated all of the options, and have selected SimpleView. We understand what it takes to create an effective tourism website. The technology that we use has been and is continuously vetted by thousands of destination marketers every day. All of that feedback is then incorporated into our platform, so we're continuously evolving and improving it specifically for destination marketers. So yes, WordPress, for example, hundreds of thousands of websites, thousands of extensions, 99.9% of those do not apply to destination marketing anyway. So we absolutely have more experience and expertise in what it takes to create an effective tourism website more than anyone else. I want to talk a little bit about our creative process and expertise and work. We have a thorough, battle-tested, research-based process that we go through. We don't start throwing designs against the wall to see what sticks, to see what you like. We don't start with WordPress themes and say, which ones do you like? Everything that we do is based on research. Every element, virtually every pixel for every design that we create There's a reason behind it, all based on research tied to your goals and objectives and the KPIs that we established together. I am not going to stand here today and tell you I already know what the vision is for the next generation website is going to be. That would be irresponsible. It's a collaborative process. It's a research-based process that we go through together. And I'm not going to go through every single step here today in the few minutes that I have. We'll keep it at a high level. But we're doing all of our research into your analytics, your current and intended audiences, user flows. Ultimately, what do we want users to accomplish on the website? It is a design from scratch process. We do not have templates. We have an entire experienced design team, award-winning. Essentially, we're going to combine everything in terms of your audience, their intentions, and keeping a visitor-centric approach with your brand and the destination, and tying it all together with our KPIs, our goals, objectives, and key performance indicators. We need to be able to measure everything that we do against these KPIs to help us make data-based decisions to say, should we do this or do that? Does that help us achieve our goals and align with our KPIs? And we'll talk a bit more about that. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about our philosophy towards measurement, these KPIs, and hotel bookings. I'm going to take a little bit of a risk and say, and a couple of things that I talk about, it may be a little shocking, but we need to understand that for a destination marketing organization, and I appreciate the TBID and the hotels and the folks in this room and the people that have spoken today, the purpose of a destination marketing website is not to generate hotel bookings. I'm sorry. No one decides to go to a destination because of a specific hotel, right? Hotel bookings are a byproduct of the inspiration or demand to visit the destination. So for a DMO, a conversion does not necessarily mean someone books a hotel room, okay? Ultimately, we want that to happen, yet. We want occupancy to go up. We want ADR to go up. We want to be able to attribute the DMO's efforts to those results. But a conversion means that we're engaging with our visitors or potential visitors through one of the various phases of the travel journey. And for DMOs specifically, and looking at this a little bit different way in terms of the funnel, DMOs really live in the top end of the funnel in terms of the inspiration area, and we want them to visit the site, we want them to navigate, engage with our content, share our content, etc. And of course, ideally book, but I don't know what the analytics show, but I would bet my house that a very small percentage of the traffic that is visiting your website today is actually booking through Jackrabbit, right? Depending on the research you look at, visitors visit X number of websites before they determine where to book. I do agree, and we at SimpleView do agree with what many others have said today in terms of direct booking and not giving all of the money to the OTAs. But again, moving down that funnel does not necessarily mean that a sale was completed. It means that they completed an action that we want them to complete. And we've achieved one of those KPIs. So what we help you to do is to develop solutions and content strategies around that traveler journey. Again, moving from the dreaming phase to the planning and booking phase, ranging from that inspirational content, video, curated itineraries, user-generated content, and so forth, into the planning and booking stages. We still want to provide those tools, so our detailed listings for our hotels and other businesses, events, special offers, packages, reviews, maps, a lot of what we're all talking about here today. To be honest, most of us today are saying, the vast majority of what we're saying is exactly the same. We all have the same philosophies. So what we want to look at in terms of potential KPIs are things like partner referrals to local businesses, right? Are we generating traffic to the website? Are they engaging with the content on the website for the local businesses? Are we driving traffic to their websites? Are we sending and generating and sending leads? Are we increasing engagement, which is very important? Are we increasing sales? Absolutely, that's great, but that's, again, a benefit and a byproduct of everything else that we're doing. So a little bit more about the process. Again, it's very detailed. We develop content strategies, SEO strategies, wireframes, digital style guides, ultimately culminating in design prototypes that we present to you in a responsive format. So you get to see how these are going to look on various devices. You get to touch them, feel them, play with them. We build it out on the SimpleView CMS and CRM platform, which we'll talk more about. Some examples, and these examples are all examples of sites that SimpleView designed and developed, not other sites we think are cool. So a handful here down the road, Huntington Beach, Spokane, Washington, all shapes and sizes of destinations, Laguna Beach, Oakland, one of my new favorites, great site to check out, Monterey, Great Lakes Bay, Greenville, South Carolina, all over the place, Vancouver, Grand Rapids, Fort Lauderdale, Mono County, Northern Kentucky, list goes on and on. Again, hundreds and hundreds of websites. We are the only company here that had, or anywhere for that matter, that had two websites on SCIF's list of the 25 best tourism websites in the world in 2016. One of those was our work for Visit Norway, the Tourism Board of Norway. We were very surprised, however, that our second one on the list was Columbus, Ohio, of all places. So it shows our ability to create world-class websites for any kind of destination. We also had another customer on the list in 2017 on this list for our work for the Las Vegas CVB. We integrate with a variety of third parties. Again, all of our integrations and extensions or plugins are industry specific. So you'll recognize a lot of these logos on the screen, obviously big players like Google and some others that I'll talk about. We also do work in, again, tying it back to the KPIs that we want to establish, the analytics, the tracking. A big part of what we're doing and pushing our customers towards is what we call beyond the click. It's not just about traffic. It's about what we're getting. We want the high-quality traffic to engage with our content and move them down that funnel and achieve those actions that we want. And we want to be able to ultimately attribute the DMO's efforts in terms of their marketing efforts using technology. So we're working with and working on integrations with companies like Adara and Arrivalist that will allow us to track, even if they didn't book a hotel through the website, did they view or engage with DMO content on their device, for example, and that device shows up in the destination, we can track that. Or Adara getting information directly from hotels and other sources so that we can provide that kind of tracking information. Should you choose to stick with Jackrabbit, which we integrate with all the time, or Ares, another example that we integrate with all the time, we're actually moving on integrations with them so that we can actually pull in that tracking information back into our platform to show, yes, they came to the DMO website, they clicked on Jackrabbit, booked direct. We can track and report that directly within our system. So we do have those capabilities if you choose to stick with Jackrabbit or others. SEO is extremely important. We've heard about that a lot today. It's a big part of what we do. We have an entire digital marketing division at SimpleView, more than 35 staff in this area alone. It influences everything that we do as a company, from our designs, from our technology, from in terms of our platform. We are, there we go, one of only 3% of all agencies that are a premier Google partner, which has a ton of advantages for us. We're actually working with them closely right now on a lot of what they're doing in terms of their attribution models. We've heard, again, this quite a bit today, and in your research you've seen this, that it's very, very hard to show up above the fold anymore in organic search. But Google is working on models that will help. Google's not in the content business. they need the content that you're going to create here, those new unique stories, that unique content that you can't get anywhere else. So that's okay if the website isn't listed above the fold, if content from the website and the DMO is through Google Carousel or otherwise, as long as that attribution is in place. So we're actually working on models like that right now directly with Google so that we can help you track and report that so that ultimately you're still reaching your visitors and prospective visitors with your content. We can track that. Variety of other tools that we implement here as well.
So we're at our 15 minutes.
Oh,
I
I'm sorry.
To tell
that
you.
Okay.
But
my
hopefully the board will ask you some questions that'll incite some of your
Please,
things
go
that
ahead.
We missed.
We'll throw you some softballs.
Yeah.
Any questions, board?
I'm impressed with everybody, and I think we've got a hard decision before us is the bottom line, and I've got too many questions for the time allotted, and I think that that'll be taken care of as we go forward in looking at the different possible vendors.
But any questions specifically for Kevin? Maggie?
From a staffing standpoint, you say you're up here from San Diego. The people we would be working with is your office mostly there? I mean, I don't know how SoCal works as far as do you have anybody local that, or is it all?
No.
Not that that's required by any means. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just curious.
You know, the vast majority of our staff is located in Arizona. So I had a slide that I didn't get to, but you would have a dedicated team, so a dedicated account manager, dedicated project manager, dedicated SEO analyst, our entire experienced design team, 40-plus developers working on your solutions. But it's all based out of Arizona, so phone calls, virtual meetings, video conferences, and so forth. Yeah.
Taylor, anything?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all again.
Let me ask a couple questions real quick before you leave. So, of course, I love your work. I think, obviously, you guys do amazing work. And he's correct. Our number one looked at page is events. It's not hotel bookings at all. So we do know that. That's the business that we're in. I'm curious. I mean, we are very small.
Yep.
You know, we are small. So how would we get the attention that we need being a smaller client for you?
Yeah, actually, you wouldn't be one of our smaller or smallest clients. While we work with virtually all of the Tier 1 cities, there's only so many of them out there. The close to 60% of our entire customer base have budgets of $1 million or less. And so we work with lots of destinations and organizations even smaller than yours. So that's our bread and butter. That's how we built our company. That's how we, in terms of our innovation and evolution as a company, that's where we live, because smaller DMOs have to do more with less. You can't throw money and bodies at problems. You need technology and you need partners like SimpleView to help you achieve more with less. So you fit right in with the majority of our customers.
Great. And then I'm wondering just your opinion, good or bad, about monetizing a site. And have you done it? Do you like it? Not?
Yep. We have
might
an entire...
I need to explain to the board what I mean by that.
Yeah. So what we've done, we're for it. It doesn't work in every market, but it is something that we have helped more than 150 destinations do, is monetize their websites by offering enhanced exposure opportunities to local tourism businesses. So featured placements, whether that's sponsoring the header image on a page or featured listings or banner ads, mobile ads to get in front of folks when they're on their phones walking down the street, variety of other opportunities like that. It's been successful for us and for our DMOs in more than 150 different markets. It's helped them augment their budgets so they can invest more in digital marketing and create a snowball effect. The more traffic they generate to the website, the more people see those ads, the more revenue it generates, the more you can invest and so forth. It's in some markets they were hesitant at first. Kind of the easiest question that is then asked, do you produce a visitor guide? Do you sell ads in your visitor guide? Yes? Okay, same thing. So we don't push it necessarily. We do believe that it can be, and we've seen it be very successful in a lot of markets across the country.
Does it distract you from your exposure on the site? I mean, are people distracted from the ad and they move over to the ad?
No, it's done very, very contextually and tastefully. It's not blinking banners and pop-ups. It's all incorporated into the site from a design perspective, so there is that continuity and user flow. And what we've actually seen from a user perspective is typically those tourism businesses that are willing to invest for that enhanced exposure are the best and brightest tourism businesses in the destinations that visitors are going to be most interested anyway. So there's a symbiotic relationship between that. The cream is rising to the top.
Okay, good.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
And with 10 minutes until lunchtime, we go to number five.
Stephen, you probably need to ask the board if they're okay staying for another 20 minutes.
Are we all okay? Do you want to take a break?
No. That's the. I just feel like, I'm an hour past where I needed to leave already. I mean, you need a quorum in order for us to have anything happen here. I would have liked to left an hour ago if I knew that I had an option.
Well, why don't we just keep going, and if somebody needs to take a quick break, they can.
Yeah, I've taken two breaks without asking for permission.
Do you want me to wait?
I mean, we don't have to sit here the whole time in order to have a quorum for the vote, right? So the quorum only happens at the vote. So let's just keep going.
Okay, go ahead. So this is
perfect.
Rick from Pacific
okay,
Leisure.
Okay, I'm Rick from Pacific Leisure Market. I forgot how cold it gets in here. I've been doing this for many years ago. I was standing in front of you talking. So 24 years of tourism and marketing travel websites. Unlike SimpleView, I have created a few hundred websites in my time. All about the bottom line to me is lodging referrals. That's what's got to come out. We got to put heads in beds, and that's what I've specialized in for all of my web life. And my funnel is such that everything drops into it, and out the bottom comes hopefully lodging referrals. And how this works to me is, you know, as lodging people, that how many people come on your website makes a referral. You have a look-to-book ratio, 1%, 2%. So when we drive something from morrobay.org or wherever websites I'm doing to your lodging websites, you can compute that. Because then you say, okay, my average reservation is two nights. If the ADR is X, then you can put a value on what we do. And so it's not exact, but it gets you in the ballpark. Okay. Another thing, too, I was listening to some of the comments before. I go way back with JackRabbit. Now, to me, JackRabbit is not an OTA. It's a data scraper. You cannot make a reservation through JackRabbit. It basically comes back to your lodging website reservation. And if I'm not mistaken, Jennifer, you pay a fee to JackRabbit X amount a month. It's not an OTA. So I was listening to that. I was going, wait a minute. Did I miss something? Has JackRabbit changed? But JackRabbit is not a booking engine. It basically gets it back to your booking engines, okay? So anyway, on we go. Let's see. These are some of the websites I do. I contract services. This is what I contract with one of your previous ad agencies. This is with TGA. I do Pismo Beach CVB website. That was, by the way, that was a full screen video there. This is an animated thing that assembles all this here. This is Avila Beach. I do some dude ranches. And I still have my fingers in Best Western. I started with Best Western. I built most of the Best Western state websites, bestwesterncalifornia.com, nevada.com, Hawaii, all across the country there. So one of the things I wanted to do in the short time that I have, I was going to just talk about structure and focus, okay? I go way back with, this is morrobay.org through the years. You can see back, I was working with TGA in 2011. That was when we basically left through a new RFP process, and it changed hands. So what I was saying is, okay, this is some of the iterations. This is some of the big changes. There was actually, in that number one, there was actually two changes. First, from the TGA, myself, days, and then it went into another company, And then the number two was the next iteration, and then number three was the present. So why I bring that up, when we left in 2011, we left with a very search-friendly URL, Morro Bay Hotels Motels. That was from us created. And it was getting 511 sessions a day and 265 views on the hotel page, which is the entry page to all of the listings, okay? And so then when it changed, it left a URL-friendly, search-friendly URL and went down into category lodging, hotels, motels. Okay, then in the next iteration, it went down to places to stay, hotels, hyphen, motels, which is the current. Each time it did that, look at what the daily page views went. The structure really messed up with the focus of what the website was going to be. And so I think that anybody that's been in the that's managed their properties from that period of time have probably seen less referrals from MorroBay.org and Jackrabbit to their website. So that's one of the things that I would put back together again. And how I do that is this is a typical lodging listing on Pismo Beach, and you can't read it, but the left is basically a link to the website, the middle one is a link to their booking engine, and the one on the right is a link to their specials if they have a special page. Okay, that was one of the ways it's easy to do that. Then we put it up to you to maintain your special page. We link over. I track each one of those outbound link tracking, so I can tell you in a report how many went from the your listing page to the website, to the reservation link, and to the special link. And then you combine that with Jackrabbit's numbers, we can tell, and this is a report that I used to give up till 2011, how many referrals MorroBay.org sent to you. And then if we wanted to, in collective, saying, okay, it sent, I'll make up the number, say it sent 10,000 referrals out this year, we can put two nights reservation on it, put an ADR of whatever number you want, $100, $75, $150, whatever, and we could say, this is what MorroBay.org returned back to you. Okay, there's your ROI. And that's one of the things that I've done for 24 years. I've got websites that are member-driven, and it's also been monetized, and if I don't provide them with a certain amount of referrals, they're gone. They don't pay me the money, and I don't succeed in that particular one. That happens to be duderanches.com that has 70 ranches in it, and its average reservation, you'll love this, is $3,000 per person. Okay, that's some of the, you know, those are the people that I'm working with. Okay, next of all, here's if you, and Jennifer brought this up, if you do a Google search right now, you're going to see this kind of a thing showing up. You see the big box at the top? That's a featured snippet. It's in my world, SEO, which I contract SEO services for you, that is search position zero. That's the golden place. Then the next thing down, you might see this now, is called answer boxes. Okay? So then the next one down is SERP number one, which happens to be the same thing. This was a search for San Simeon Visitor Guide. Now, if there are ads in it, the ads would be on top of the featured snippet, shuts everything down. Now the number one is below the fold. Okay? So you're looking at what's featured snippets, what's really its purpose, what are the answer box, how do you get in there? Okay, I brought with me my Google Home Mini, talking to the Google Assistant, and I'm going to ask it a question here, and hopefully it'll, if it's powered up still, it's been powered up, it's going to read you the featured snippet. I don't know if you can see it or read it. Hey Google, San Simeon Visitor Guide.
I found six on the website highway1discoveryroute.com. Here are the first three. Bucket list San Simeon Ragged Point. Road trip San Simeon, the Highway 1 Discovery Route, and Coastal Discovery Center. Want me to tell you more?
No thanks. That's voice search right there. Okay, now why is voice search so popular? It's because I can speak 10 times faster than I can type. If you ever
Sorry,
seen me do data.
I don't understand.
Thanks, Google. So anyway, that's the link between voice search, and we're all doing voice searches right now, and that featured snippet. Because what's happening right now in the world, and Jennifer mentioned this, organic search is going away. It is actually really going away. Text entered keyboard searches are declining. DMOs are starting to find this out. I sent her an article about it, how DMOs are now saying, hey, why is my organic search dropping? It's because of this, okay? So now, I'll try another one will be a little bit more appropriate. I also do I've done about six hotel websites, different versions of it, different aspects of what I provide for them for Morro Bay. I still do Jane's site on Bayfront Hotel, and I also do her dog-friendly Morro Bay. Hey, Google, are dogs allowed in Morro Bay?
On the website dogfriendlymorrobay.com, they say, most beaches in Morro Bay allow your dog on leash.
So, to get this done, you got to know what the question is, you got to know how to format your website, how to construct the structure to talk to this new focus that's going on. Now, here's why. In 2 years, 50% of all searches are going to be by voice. Google is even stating that now. Before, it was people like me in the SEO business, okay? Feature snippets are the key. You saw how feature snippets work right now. Okay, I've got, not to knock SimpleView or anything, but I do track my competition, Highway 1 Discovery Route, against Visits Locale. And I've got 10 featured snippets out of my 60 keywords right now. I haven't seen any on those same keywords by SimpleView because I've got a tool that can track that. Okay, only 3% of marketers are working on optimizing websites for voice. I'm one of them. So that's one of the things that I bring to the table with what I've got to offer with you guys. And you know, hopefully we can put the genie back in the bottle. I don't know if we can get it back to 2011, what we were providing with referrals to your lodging website. But to me, branding and lead generation go side by side. And I think we got to get it back together. There was a lot of structure problems. If you were to go back to and click on Morro Bay hyphen hotels, motels, if that was a link that you had from years back, or even category slash lodging slash hotel motels, if you were to have a bookmark in your website and you were to click on that, up until recently when Doug fixed it, because we found out about it, you would have got to a blank page. No navigation, no menu, nothing. That's how structural changes can really have an adverse effect on what you do. And so that's one of the things I bring to the table. I'm just a one-stop shop, but I'm very responsive. I believe that WordPress for structure and flexibility and future features. If you decided to come out and say, I wanted to have this feature in the website, well, we'd go out and find out how to do it under WordPress. I'm a big believer of WordPress, the plugins, the flexibility. I can't get WordPress to do anything. I mean, I can get WordPress to do almost anything that any client could ask it to do. And bring back the focus on lodging referrals. We've got to get that back in so we can show you guys an outstanding ROI, because you're the guys that are collecting the assessment. You're going to have a natural question. What's in it for me? You know, what's my 50 feet of Morro Bay doing? Well, we can put some numbers to that, and I've done that before prior to 2011. And concentrate on mobile search, mobile first, and voice search, because as you can see, voice search is right there. Now, those searches are right here on my phone. I haven't done anything that would trigger Google Analytics at all yet. But when, if I do that, if I wanted to find out more about the Morro Bay Dog Friendly, tap that. Now we've now gone onto that page, and Google Analytics will track it. Okay, in my world, there's speculation right now that Google Search Console is going to add voice tracking. And as soon as that does that, it's going to break loose. That everything I've just showed you right now is going to be the Wild West stampede to get featured snippets in there. Unfortunately, we can't get it done right away because of the structure of the website and what we're up against right now. But there might be a way. I'm looking at seeing what the structure is, that we, if we can go with featured snippets and work on some of these things. So, end of the story. I mean, I tried to keep it really short so you guys could have any questions, because I've been in Morro Bay for years now, and I'd like to see you guys get back on track and not go through all of the iterations. It's really bad to change your URLs from the nice search-friendly ones that we left you with and to go back to things that kind of almost don't make sense. And each time you do that, you really confuse Google. So
we appreciate you being concise. Thank you. And for the record, it is probably the toughest slot to go fifth in these presentations. Good job. Do we have any questions? Good, Maggie?
Too late, I guess. No questions.
Taylor? Jennifer?
No, I'm just very thankful that he's been doing our SEO. It's made a big difference for us getting all that organized.
Thank you very much. Okay.
So the question for the board is one of two things. You can either task me to, if you want to pick two that you liked, I can start working with the two of them and come back with proposals and tightened estimates of what they're going to do. Or you can task me to put together a subcommittee and go that route, which obviously will take longer. My choice would be the first, obviously, but I'm curious to see what all of you think as well.
I would choose to go with the most efficient, quickest thing. I feel like our number one problem is time, and you're our time, so whatever's fastest and best for you is what we should go with. I think we waste a ton of time. So I know what I want.
Preference of presenters that you like, Taylor?
Well, personally, for my, if I were to choose for my own business, I would go with Simple View. I thought he just was killing it up there. But I think that for this board and for Morro Bay, I think the best vote would be Verdin. But I think that Mental Marketing is such a powerhouse. So I'm going to go with my vote would be to have Simple View in Verdin, but that's my vote.
So my opinion on whether or not to go is different. I just think there's, you know, I've spent a good part of my life selecting websites. It was my career, or working on websites and stuff. So there's just, you know, you can, and no offense to all you marketers out there, but you can get up and tell a great story. You know, I don't know what you've requested in the proposals, the more detailed proposals from them, but to me, the first thing you do is you set forth your requirements and your priorities of those requirements, and then you measure them against it. And people have made lots of references to sites that they've done, but, you know, without me being able to sit at the computer and go out and look at those, I can't see anything from here. I just think it's rushing it too much. This is a very important decision, and don't want to change just for the sake of changing. I'd really love to hear from your group who has to interact on a day-to-day basis what your priorities are and what makes content. You know, to me, if you're choosing a website, the critical things are ease of changing content, you know, making sure the website is flexible enough to accommodate those changes. You know, certainly all your metrics are really important, that it be responsive, although I think everybody at this point is proposing responsive websites. To me, it's just a big job, not one that we can go, well, that marketing presentation looked great, so I'm going with them. Personal opinion.
If we did do a committee, Maggie, any thoughts on who would sit on that committee? Besides the three people that aren't here?
I would certainly be willing to sit on it because it's something I'm interested in, but I think it'd be very important to have people from Jennifer's staff who have to work with it every day. And Jennifer, can you talk a little bit more about what the how detailed do you already have the proposals already from all five of these, and how detailed are they? And if we did form a subcommittee, would they be going through those proposals? What would be the proposed?
I do have initial proposals from everybody. Some of my, I've gone back and changed parts that they've put in there. Like Simple View's initial one was very broad, and I tightened it up to be very specific to what we need. It's kind of awkward to present all of those estimates in this form, and that's why I did not do it this time, Maggie. As far as a subcommittee or not a subcommittee, because there's only four of you here today, you all have to vote in agreement. Otherwise, it's not a no vote, it's a non-vote, just like we had with the vacation rental situation, and it goes away. So you have to realize before you take a vote, you guys really have to work this out between the four of you and come to an agreement. So one thing you could do is you could ask for one of the TBID board members to sit with me as a subcommittee person and make these final, you know, go through the final two that you pick and bring them back, and that might be a way to kind of combine those two thoughts. I have the subcommittee that I've pulled together for the agency review is very extensive. It includes some larger hoteliers here in town, and it was pulling teeth to get them to do it. Some of them were absolutely on board, but they're like, I can only do this and nothing else. Because I was kind of hoping maybe I could talk them into also doing this, and they're very clear I can only do the agency review. So just so you're aware, that's kind of the unfortunate situation that I'm in. Yeah.
So Jennifer, if we give you two names today, do we have to have a consensus for that as well? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, you have to choose as a group.
Ken, what are your thoughts?
Jennifer, what's your preference on how we go forward?
I would pick two, and we come back with their proposals. And it doesn't mean that we will hire one of them. We might come back next month and say, this is not on Mark. Let's look at another one of the groups. So, but that's where I would go with it. And my recommendation would be to do definitely a WordPress group. And then I also like SimpleView. It's, you know, totally opposite of, you know, a simple WordPress site. So I think it'd be good to look at the two.
Taylor, did I understand you earlier that we're probably on the same page here, and that Jennifer would take the lead on this instead of?
I feel like once we move to this model of TBID board from the previous model, our focus should always be Jennifer. That was why we moved to this model.
Exactly.
And I feel like Verdin is the local one strength. I like them not having everything with mental marketing, even though that does have efficiency. And I felt as far as us being cutting edge, SimpleView needed to be there in the what we're looking at. So again, my two choices would be Verdin and SimpleView.
I agree with Taylor. So I think it's balls in your court.
I think all five did a great job, and there's attributes. And to be honest, I've got a marketing degree from Cal Poly, and half the things they said I went over my head. But I really like Verdin, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I like the energy. I like that they're here from San Luis Obispo, the county, and fresh ideas. And I think, you know, I've had conversations. You know, that's what I think Morro Bay needs, getting new events, new blood in here. I think they could do a good job. Obviously, SimpleView is qualified. They're all qualified, so you know I would support those two.
Maggie, would you want to sit with me and be?
I'm fine
my
with T-Bid
representative.
Clearly,
to
I don't
want
to hold things up, and it's true.
I know.
It's very
expedient.
Yes. And so I'm fine if we do choose number one. If we do decide to narrow it down to two today, and yes, I could work with you on that.
I make
time allowing.
I make a motion that we select Verdin and SimpleView to review at your discrepancy, Jennifer, and if it doesn't work out, we can come back to any of the other five.
I would second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, declaration of future items.
I had a declaration of future item, and it might not be a future item. It was more like I didn't want to do the legwork myself, and I was trying to kick it to city staff. I had a constituent speak to me at the gym, and you know how much I love being spoken to at the gym. It's just so awesome. But they said something about a city council meeting in April. There's four meetings for me to review through on the web access in April. And it was something about a change in funds being reappropriated to like a different account. The words were work plan. I'm just kind of lost on it, and I would like some help with this. I felt like what they were telling me was that it was not legal for them to take money from one spot that is supposed to be for marketing and move it to another spot, and basically that's what the city council person was proposing, and I would hate for that to happen. So maybe someone could just help me with that. What am I talking about? What were they talking about? I was half naked at the time, so again, like, it's not my favorite place to talk. Just give me some help on this.
I'll see what I can do, Taylor.
Thanks, Jennifer.
I have a question or maybe a topic for a future meeting, but can we get clarity? I know we spoke a little bit about what's the next step, probably to Scott, in terms of the VR RV discussion.
Yeah. So there was it kind of fell into the void because there was no continuance of the item. So there's not a lot of guidance in these kind of scenarios. I don't know how strongly staff can make a recommendation without having the backing of the TBID on something that important. I think City Council is going to be doing a retreat next Friday from 12 to 2 in the Community Center to talk about the work plan for this year. And looking back at the goals that were set up in 2017, vacation rental, just the general policy was one of the big ones identified. We didn't get a lot of work done on that. There's a moratorium in place. There's expectation that something would come back. But council needs to look at all of those objectives that they still have outstanding and make a decision about what to move forward for this year. I assume that'll be a big part of the discussion. That's about all I can tell you at this point. I think it would be prudent for council to look at that bigger policy area before jumping into the kind of the TBID assessment piece.
Thank you. So we should wait for input from the council or yourself before we make another agenda item to discuss it.
Yes, I would recommend that.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Well, thank you everyone for your patience. That was a long meeting, and we adjourn.
Thank you.
Good job.